Morning Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Welcome back to the Guy James Show. Couldn't wait to get here today. One of those days that coming on over to the studio, I was thinking, yeah, I'm anxious, I'm ready to go. You know, it's one of those times you don't know what to do with a show, though. I mean, there's so many subjects to approach that you don't know which way to go. But we'll probably head off in several different directions today. Maybe not like we did yesterday. I mean, have you ever heard a show? And those of you that happen to be on the chat room or anyplace else today, have you ever heard a radio show that had a lot to do with Republican oral sex and turkey nuts? Yes, I'm sure some of you that didn't hear yesterday's show are going, what? Well, I don't know if we'll be along those lines today, but we'll try and have a good show for you. Welcome. Glad to have all of you with us, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida. And it is a gorgeous day here today, about 83, 84 degrees and sunny. And my wife got back from Ohio today and said, it was cold up there. It's up in northeastern Ohio. So so much for the weather report. We're glad to have you along today. We have much to talk about. As you well know by now, the 10 of our people we lost yesterday in Iraq, nine soldiers and one Marine. And, you know, 10 more, and it hardly makes the news. Have you noticed that? What's it take? What's it take? This is the most important issue in several decades, in my opinion. And yet, so what? That's the attitude the media is giving it. And then we have this miserable excuse of a human being named George W. Bush calling for us to push on. Push on. Just keep throwing our kids into the meat grinder with no positive outcome in sight, with almost everyone in the know about the place saying it's absolutely hopeless and this fool wants to push on. Oh, I don't know. Makes me wonder. What kind of a man would throw away American and Iraqi lives every single day so that he can just strut around saying, I'm a war president. Doesn't he enjoy that? I'm the war president. We're talking about a psychopath of the highest order here. We're talking about a man who, in the party of, family values and morality and all that, the man that has no moral compass whatsoever. A man that I don't think he knows right from wrong. I don't think he does. If you could stand it, did you watch this signing yesterday of him signing the torture bill? Did you watch that? I have a question for everybody. He had everybody in there that really fought for this bill and all the big shots in the Republican Party and all that. Where was John McCain in that picture? Where was John McCain in that picture? John McCain, after all the protestations that he had about it early on, end up kowtowing to the Bush administration and sucking up to him, getting down on his knees like he always does, and servicing the party, and went along with him on the torture bill like a good little boy. Where was he in that picture yesterday? If you were planning on running for the presidency, would you have your picture in that paper, you know, in there with those guys? No, I don't think so. You know, I don't ever want to hear anybody on the right talk about moral values again. They are concepts. Moral values are concepts that the right clearly doesn't understand. And if they dare, after this habeas corpus thing and the torture and all, if they dare to bring up the Bible or Jesus Christ after this, I'm going to laugh in their faces, knowing that by their very own standards, they're going straight to hell for what they've done. And I do feel that way. Never been so disgusted with my government as I am right now. And I know a lot of you feel the same way. I'm certainly getting a lot of mail from you. A lot of correspondence. People are fed up. Well, I'll talk about this a little later. I spoke to Jonathan Turley this morning, wanted to have him on the show today. You know, he's the professor of law, of constitutional law, George Washington University in Washington. Have you ever been down by George Washington University in Washington? Boy, what a cool little place it is, especially the College of Law there. It's just about maybe, oh, I don't know, 3 blocks off of the mall, kind of down at the end where the end of the mall where the Vietnam Memorial is. Just about 3 blocks away, lots of trees. I mean, anyway, it's a beautiful, beautiful campus. Gorgeous. And yes, we will talk about the story it costs today, about the vote purging going on in several states. Knew about that before. Planned on talking about it today, and we will. I tell you, it's so crazy. Sometimes I feel like I'm living on the inside of a cuckoo clock anymore. I really do. God. You know Bob Geiger, a lot of you know Bob Geiger. He was saying that, to paraphrase Forrest Gump, going to the White House website's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And I do love that White House website. I really do. It really comes in handy. You never know what you're going to find on there, and it might be some huge lie by Tony Snow, or it may be the usual verbal bumbling or outright lies by George Bush in one of his speeches, although many times they try and clean them up a little bit. They use their little eraser in there. And actually, I love the White House website because it has a tremendous amount of audio of Bush's own statements on it, and now and then you can really trip them up with their own lies by going back and listening to one of his speeches. I did that just the other day right off the White House website. But one place on that site that's always sure to give you one of those you can't make this stuff up moment is going to the section where they have the Bush presidential proclamations. And I'm sure some of you know about this already. In 2006 alone, we've seen the hypocritical celebrations that included the irony of Child Health Day from an administration that's done nothing to make American children healthier, to a warmonger like Bush, lauding Prayer for Peace Day, and the grotesque spectacle of Gold Star Mother's Day being heralded by a man who's responsible for creating so many new Gold Star mothers. And we've got another one to add to that collection, because whether you realize it or not, you're smack dab in the middle of what Bush has officially proclaimed National Character Count Week. It runs October 15th through October 21st and is intended, according to Bush, to renew our commitment to instilling values in our young people and to encourage all Americans to remember the importance of good character. To quote Bush, "As individuals, we all have an obligation to help our children become responsible citizens and realize their full potential. That's what Bushy's boy said in his proclamation. By demonstrating values such as integrity, courage, honesty, and patriotism, all Americans can help our children develop strength and character. Well, la-dee-da. You know, when my own children were being raised, they were being taught those values, and they're raising their own kids now, teaching them the same set of standards. And I believe all you have to do is take a look at the entire Bush family. And I mean the whole damn family and their behavior. Wives, mothers, kids, almost all of them. Hey, you don't like it? I'm going to put some of the kids in it. I don't care. Compare the behavior of the Bush daughters to Chelsea Clinton. Is that unfair? But I'm talking about values here, and that's why I want to mention that. Take a look at the entire Bush family. Daddy Bush and the Iran-Contra affair. You got Junior GWB and his constant lying and lack of integrity. You got Neil, the brother who scammed hundreds of millions of dollars from the American public and is continuing on the same path at this very moment with this new COW computer thing, and he's going around trying to sell to all the school systems because his name is Bush. You got Jebby and his association with known criminals all over southeast Florida and his real estate scams in South Florida before he became governor. You got the mother, Babs, in her statement. Remember that? I don't want to waste my beautiful mind on that, end quote, when referring to the flag-draped caskets coming home from Iraq. And even the grandfather, a known collaborator of the Nazis and their war machine in order to make a buck. I would submit to you that the entire Bush family is a perfect example of what type of character you do not want to instill in your family. Of every president in the United States history, how hypocritical is it for George W. Bush to talk about integrity and honesty? This is a guy who ran for president saying it's time to restore honor and dignity to the White House, and then proceeded to set new records for lying to the American people while making the United States, without a doubt, the most despised, disrespected country in this whole world. You know, this president who tries to speak so stridently about honesty is the same guy who got people to vote for him by claiming over and over that he was a uniter, not a divider, and then he went on to so bitterly divide this country more than it's ever been divided since our own Civil War. He said, we found weapons of mass destruction. We found biological laboratories. For those who say we haven't found the banned manufacturing devices and banned weapons, they're wrong. We found them. Those are the words of George W. Bush himself in May of 2003. Never mind, it was absolutely false. Wasn't true then, still isn't true now. Although Kurt Weldon and Rick Santorum found him a little later on, you know. And I also don't recall in grades 1 through 12, or my time in college, or any other time in my life, that it was part of our national character to just unilaterally invade a sovereign country with no justification whatsoever and with no direct threat to us. But hey, maybe I missed that day of class. And I'm also pretty damn sure that our national character isn't embodied in the number of Republicans who've been nailed for everything from accepting bribes to money laundering in the last few years. And I think by now the court of public opinion has already weighed in on how much character it takes for the GOP to launch a major cover-up to protect one of their pedophiles in Congress. I don't have the time today to outline every bit of dishonesty and lack of character shown by Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and their whole stinking cabal of people most people would want nothing to do with. But let me give you but one example of Bush's absolutely purposeful deceit and lying. Remember what he said about gay marriage during his first campaign for the presidency? You remember that? Let me quote the words of George W. Bush, running in his first campaign in 2000. Said the state can do what they want to do. Don't try to trap me in this state's issue like you're trying to get me into, said Bush to Larry King while running for the presidency in 2000. Of course, we know what's happened since. You got to pay those debts to the religious right, because there was Bush in February of 2004 saying, today I called upon the Congress to promptly pass and send to the states for ratification an amendment to our Constitution defining and protecting marriage as a union of a man and a woman as husband and wife. Some character. And Bush ends his wonderful proclamation saying, National Character Counts Week is an opportunity to recognize the depth of American character and appreciate those who pass on our values to future generations. It's a good thing that our kids learning honesty, integrity, and character begins at home, or the future generations he's talking about might waste time looking for it in this president. His entire administration and a Republican-controlled Congress, which, of course, would be like trying to find WMDs in Iraq. Easier to find that than find character in this group. You really would have an easier time finding WMDs in Iraq to find character than in any of these people. So Bob Geiger had it right. He always does. There is no character with this group of people. They'll lie, cheat, and steal and do whatever they have to. And they're ready to do it again. What do I mean? Well, first of all, in Ohio, Kenny Blackwell, running for governor of Ohio, and God almighty, what has happened to Ohio? We've got the Bob Ney story. He still hasn't quit the Congress. We got the Thomas Noe story, the coin dealer who was given the blessing by the Taft administration to, I guess you would call it, invest in rare coins, $50 million worth. And, of course, he used the money like it was his own. Made some of it his own. And then you got Taft himself, who's a criminal. Amazing. And we all know what happened in the last election in Washington, in Columbus, Ohio, and Cleveland, Ohio, with the voting machines and Blackwell being the Secretary of State. You'd have to be crazy to vote for Blackwell. And, of course, a lot of people, I guess, they're probably figuring that out in Ohio. He's down by as many as 28 points. But I don't know how many of you saw the story. But voters in Ohio, as this was out of the New York Times, voters in Ohio can be forgiven if they feel that they've been beamed out of the Midwest and dropped into a third world autocracy. The latest news from the state governor's race is that the Republican nominee, Kenneth Blackwell, who is also the Ohio Secretary of State, could rule that his opponent is ineligible to run because of a technicality. We'd like to think that his office would not ultimately do that, or that if it did, such a ruling would not be allowed to stand. But the mere fact that an elected official and political candidate has the authority to toss his opponent out of a race is further evidence of a serious flaw in our democracy. Well, I certainly agree with that. And it goes on to say, Ted Strickland, the Democratic nominee, is leading Mr. Blackwell by as many as 28 points, according to one recent poll. So in their panic, some Blackwell supporters, and God dang it, what kind of people must they be? In their panic, some Blackwell supporters have hit on an idea of trying to prevent the election from occurring at all. One of them has filed a complaint alleging that Mr. Strickland, who is a member of Congress, does not live in the apartment where he's registered to vote. Mr. Strickland owns a condominium in another part of Ohio, and the complaint alleges that he actually lives there. If Mr. Strickland was not a qualified voter, he would be prohibited from running for governor. Amazing. The complaint itself is absolutely without merit. The New York Times goes on to say, no one disputes that Mr. Strickland lives in Ohio or that he is registered. The only issue is which of his two homes he chose to register from, and the law gives voters with multiple homes broad discretion in choosing among them. What is more interesting and troubling is the way the complaint is proceeding. The county board that heard it broke down 2-2 on party lines about whether to hold a hearing. In the case of a tie vote at the county level, complaints like these get forwarded to the Secretary of State's office to be resolved. Mr. Blackwell says he has designated his assistant secretary to handle duties that could conflict with his candidacy. But passing these matters on to a subordinate who's a political ally and owes his job to the candidate hardly removes the conflict. In 2004, Mr. Blackwell chose to become co-chairman of President Bush's Ohio campaign and then issued rulings that helped the campaign. Now we have the even more bizarre prospect of Mr. Blackwell or his deputy potentially participating in the baseless disqualification of his opponent. This actually could happen. Do you doubt for a moment that Blackwell isn't thinking about doing it? Do you? I don't think he's discounting it one bit. I think he'll do it if he gets a chance. If he thinks he can get away with it, he will do it. But no matter how dirty you think Ken Blackwell is, I wonder how many of you've found out about this latest purge of the voters that Blackwell's trying to do in Ohio. Not trying to do, a purge that he did. Got this from Daily Kos. Said a friend in a position to be present at lunches of GOP insiders here in D.C. called me on Thursday. They know of my ongoing efforts to make hackable voting end. My friend was present at a group of moderate GOP, that's the grand old pervert, you know, members with Ohio ties, lamented how far the party had strayed, and there was consensus at the table there was no way they should retain control. The table conversation began with the assumption their party would lose control in this election. The moderates started planning on how to take back control of the GOP from the extremists. Then one insider, probably an extremist, but certainly very close to Mr. Ken Melman, abruptly stopped the conversation. He told the table that it was impossible they would lose either house. He also predicted an Ohio GOP sweep. Now, isn't that interesting? A GOP sweep in Ohio? I don't think so. None of the polls even come close to saying anything like that. And in fact, they're calling for a GOP sweep or a Democratic sweep. And so this guy says he informed the group that over the last year in four critical states, the GOP needs to hold huge purges of the voter rolls, and they've just been finished. The insider didn't say which four states, but did say Ohio was among them. His claim was a new Diebold voter registry system had been installed over the last year. The last week of July and the first week of August, a test run was made of the system's ability to purge ineligible voters. The purge generated names and test letters sent out to 1.2 million Ohio addresses, with a focus on universities, apartment addresses with high turnover, and he claims they made the letters seem just functionary, but they have an action component to avoid being purged from the rolls. The insider warned and said that Blackwell was brilliant in how he did this. The letter went on for a long time about changes in Ohio voting and security, and suggested people who might have concerns about their voting status could come by county offices and confirm their continued voting eligibility before Election Day. Oh, sure, I bet a lot of people will be doing that. He further added that since it was conducted as a test, they only sent letters to a limited number of suspect addresses, and I suspect Blackwell chose criteria very favorable for us, he went on to say. This is really quite an absurd story. The type of people they tried to purge or did purge. But here we are having this right out in the open. Right out in the open. People know about this. Is there an outcry from anybody that you hear? Is there? Will this make the evening news tonight, do you think? I don't think so. I've got to make it at all. I fail to understand why so many people don't care about this issue. They figure that this is America, land of the free and home of the brave, and we've always been able to go to the polls and have our votes count when we know damn well the last two elections. Without question, there's been hanky-panky going on, or we should call it a whole lot worse than that. I think we know that. I think everybody knows it. I don't understand why there isn't a bigger outcry in this country about that. I don't think, yes, we don't need to make allegations where there isn't any solid proof. But the places where we have good solid proof, we need to make a big issue of it. And we're not. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We hope you'll give us a call.
For the past 20 years, I've been voting Republican. The Republicans promised to reduce my taxes, lower my electric bills, and fix our school funding system. Well, I don't know about you, but my property taxes go up every year, my electric bills are through the roof, and the school funding system is still broken. I've had enough. When I get in the voting booth on November 7th, I'm not voting Republican anymore. I'm going to vote Democrat, and I hope you'll join me.
We look to the day when you can live in freedom, and America and Iran can be good friends and close partners in the cause of peace.
See, this is where we get a really bad reputation. I live in a country where I'm not even sure if my vote's going to count in November. How free are you? How free are the people on the Gulf Coast? How free are the families that still grieve for the bodies dragged out of Aracoma and Sago? How free are they? He throws around precious terms with precious little regard for them. How free are we that chose by a wide margin in the year 2000, November 2000, we chose a man named Al Gore to be the President of the United States. How free are we that we were saddled with this ignorant, ignorant, hateful little man? How free are we? How free? I'm Bob Kincaid. Join me weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
In Iraq, my administration looked at the intelligence, and we saw a threat. Members of Congress looked at the intelligence, and they saw a threat. The United Nations Security Council looked at the intelligence, and it saw a threat.
Very funny!
Tell us what you think. Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
Welcome back to the Guy James Show. So glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. We had hoped to have Jonathan Turley on this afternoon. I guess that's how we started talking about Georgetown Constitutional Professor of Law, Professor of Constitutional Law at George Washington University in Washington. We had a good discussion about this torture bill and habeas corpus and all, and he's got some strong opinions on it, but he's in a plane right now, so A lot of these Washingtonians are traveling a lot, so I don't know whether we'll get a chance to talk to him a little later on today or not. I really don't know. But anyway, we've got you with us, and you're welcome to call us, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. I did the right thing, and I went over and I took a bullet for all of you, and I watched Fox News for a little while. And I saw a discussion between Mort Kondracki and what's that idiot that sits beside him, Hume. And Kondracki says, well, as to this, to that Human Rights Watch spokesperson, it's just false that this is, you can lock them up and throw away the key, is not correct. He's talking about this torture bill. They're defending it. He says, I mean, these detainees have a right to go to a military. They have been tried in a military tribunal. The case goes on appeal to the U.S. District, the Circuit Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, second highest court in the land, which reviews the evidence. And so, Kondracki says, there is a judicial review of a conviction, at least, and so you know it's just flatly false what the Democrats were saying. Have you read this thing? Kondracki could not be more wrong. Sure, the torture bill does allow, and this is where they try and trip you up, that torture bill does allow for the creation of a military commission, but only in the event that Bush or any other president in the future would want to single out a detainee for trial or conviction or punishment, probably the death penalty. And the commission only exists so that the president can sentence a detainee himself. But where Kondracki is all wet, and if you read this thing closely, he's all wet in that the detainee has no right to be tried before a commission, and the president is not in any way obligated to bring any detainee before the commission. And if the president doesn't want to have a trial for any detainee, he can simply keep them locked up forever and a day, if he so chooses. And let's be clear about something else here, and this is maybe the most important part. Under the statute, even American citizens, can be declared to be what the statute calls unlawful enemy combatants. Man. And, you know, they're trying to lie their way out of that. And is it any wonder when you see blatant disinformation like this on Fox News, is it any wonder that so many millions of people walk around this country with false information and don't know what the hell they're doing when they vote for somebody? Is it any wonder at all? I don't know. Where are we going with this here? Oh, the polls. Polls are looking kind of good. And I know a lot of you keep track of these. Things are looking good for the Democrats. And I think they could win, and I'll stick my neck out here, I think they could win as many as 33, 34, maybe even, if everything goes right, maybe even 35 seats. And 22 of those would be seats held by the GOP right now that are leaning toward Democrat. With only 15 more seats needed for a majority, there's a pretty doggone good likelihood of a Democratic House, I think. And the Democrats could win the Senate if everything breaks right, but there isn't a whole lot of room for error in the polls right now for the Senate. And it very well may come down to McCloskey and Talent in Missouri. The winner of that one just might decide who's got the majority. And, of course, in Montana, good news there. The last five polls have been positive for the Democrats. In Missouri, that poll is split down the middle. And in New Jersey, Menendez is in a tight race. But all five of the latest polls have given him a small lead. And Ohio looks safe right now. It looks like a safe turnover to the Democrats. And Rhode Island and Tennessee, although Ford's got an ever so tiny edge there, that could break Democrat as well. And as far as governorships, we lead in 7 attempts to take over GOP slots. So it looks pretty good. It looks pretty good. And hey, somebody asked me yesterday in an email, and I can't find out anything about this. Those of you that are on the chat room, those of you listening from anywhere, please email me if you have any concrete information about George Allen's arrest record. There's something that's floating around out there that's obviously big news, but it's just floating, 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 and nobody wants to pick it up and run with it because they can't seem to find what the actual story is, because evidently his arrest record has been purged. Now, if he was arrested for drunken driving, if he was arrested for this, that, the other thing, okay, so what? But, I don't want to make light of drunken driving, but still. And what about the big news yesterday? I'm surprised I haven't heard a whole lot of comment from Democrats on this. About Craig, Larry Craig. Now the Republicans are absolutely outraged that Larry Craig's name has been brought up by someone who may have, as someone who might have had homosexual affairs. And they're just positively indignant that someone would use sex as a weapon in political life. They're now saying, how can they ever get good people to run for office when Democrats resort to such invasive tactics as outing someone like Craig? Why, using sexual habits and homosexuality for political gain is just awful, according to them. They're screaming bloody murder. And I agree with them. Doing that isn't very nice. Isn't very nice at all. But what right do they have saying anything? It's amazing about using sexual information in politics. Sure, they're the ones who've been claiming moral superiority over the Democrats. They're the ones who are the family values-oriented people. They're the holier-than-thou people. Oh, yes. But does anyone remember this little ditty from Matt Drudge? Kerry fights off a media probe of recently alleged infidelity. Rivals predict ruin on Drudge, a world exclusive. A frantic behind-the-scenes drama is unfolding around Senator John Kerry and his quest to lock up the Democratic nomination for president, the Drudge report can reveal. Intrigue surrounds a woman who recently fled the country, reportedly at the prodding of Kerry. The Drudge report is learned. Drudge put this out. They knew damn well this wasn't true. They knew it wasn't true. And they put it out anyway. It goes from Rove to Drudge out into the public, disseminated amongst all the right-wing talkers. That's how it works. Let's go to phones. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Susan in Columbia City.
Hi, Susan.
Who, the Republicans use sex in a political campaign? Oh, they wouldn't even think of that now, would they?
Well, I have a hard time believing it, but I guess you could ask Bill Clinton.
Yeah, or Monica, or Jennifer Flowers, or somebody like that, or dig up that blue dress, or whatever. God, these people's hypocrisy is beginning to get really sick.
It is.
The ultimate in hypocrisy, though, is if you go to www.ussenate.gov, I think that is the email address. Anyway, it is the address for the U.S. Senate.
Mm-hmm.
You will find the ultimate in hypocrisy. Yeah, it's www.senate.gov.
What's on there?
Because the main page is We the People Celebrating the Constitution.
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk about rubbing salt in the wound.
Yeah, like that means anything. Wasn't it George Bush that said it was just a piece of paper?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he meant it, too.
Yeah, and he buried it yesterday.
He did. He did, in fact.
Snarl, snarl, snarl. I'd say something. Well, I called up my Republican senator today, and I called him and anybody who's like him who supported Bush a traitor.
Yeah. Well, they've been getting a lot of phone calls, but the damage is done. And, and what's worse is the Democrats stood by and watched, and even some of them helped out. I think, how many senators was it, 11 maybe, that went along with them on it?
Oh, yeah. They got my next series of phone calls.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been too mad to make them before this. I would have been probably jailed for...
they don't want you saying a whole lot to them anymore, that's for sure.
So I had to get to the point where I could, at the very least, remain civil.
Yeah. Well, it's tough nowadays.
And, but I figure the word traitor is allowed, so I figured I was allowed to say that.
But. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was a sad day for America, and I'm trying to think who it was. One of the senators said it was a stain upon America, and I believe that it was absolutely a stain. And I think years from now, people are going to be looking back and saying, "Why didn't we do something about it?" And we didn't.
I think years from now, people are going to be looking on the American people with the same contempt that they looked at the German people who lived downwind of Dachau and were saying they didn't know. Yeah, they didn't know because they didn't want to know.
Well, you very well might be absolutely right about that. And that's a hard pill to swallow. It really is, knowing that people think that way about our country. It sure
and
is.
And in the main, it's dessert.
Yeah.
And it's shameful.
Hey, I do thank you for your call.
You're more than welcome, good, Guy, good. And you have a nice day.
Thank you. It is shameful. It really is shameful. I gave that a lot of thought yesterday about that signing, and I thought, I was sick to death over it about John McCain. What a hypocrite he is. Fought for that, and he didn't want his picture taken with him. He doesn't want to go out and stump. He doesn't want to go out and have his name associated with that, now does he? And moreover, he didn't want to have his picture taken with George W. Bush lately. But, she's right. When she talked about the outrage or the Republicans about the Democrats bringing up sexual matters. Anybody remember this from Rush Limbaugh? He said, "I've got some interesting, juicy details on this book on Hillary by Ed Klein, but I'm not going to be the first to mention them. I'm not going there," he says. This is Rush Pills Limbaugh. He said, "It'll come out eventually. It has to do with sexual orientation. I'm not going to be the one. That's the book that everybody says is going to be presenting a firestorm." And Limbaugh says, "I mean, where are the real men in the Democratic Party? Where are the real men? Hillary Clinton's one of them, but where are the others?" And I happen to be listening to the Limbaugh show on this particular day when Limbaugh said this in reporting to you how the Republicans would never use sexual matters to destroy an opponent. I was listening to Limbaugh the day he said that, and he said, "Okay, folks, I think I've got enough information here to tell you about the contents of this fax that I got." No, B1 Bob Dornan was on the program with him that day. I do remember that. And he says, "Brace yourself. This fax contains information that I have just been told will appear in a newsletter to Morgan Stanley sales personnel this afternoon." I've never figured out what Morgan Stanley people had to do with this. Limbaugh goes on to say, "What it is a bit of news which says there's a Washington consulting firm that has scheduled the release of a report that will appear. It will be published that claims that Vince Foster was murdered in an apartment owned by Hillary Clinton, and the body was then taken to Fort Marcy Park," end quote. And then we remember all of the scum on the Republican side saying, "Oh, well, Hillary was having an affair with Vince Foster." Imagine how well the widow Vince Foster's widow felt about that. And then this from Jonah Goldberg. As long as we're talking about things the Republicans would never do. Jonah Goldberg said, friends of the First Lady believe that Hillary is the only person in America who wouldn't get a cigar joke. So she's fully forgiven him, and she doesn't know the full extent of his piggishness. Talk about transactional immunity. This is not an open, loving marriage. This is the Jerry Springer show with nicer clothes. Like Jonah Goldberg would know what the relationship between the Clintons is. And then this conduct by Karl Rove, Bush's campaign strategist, including Karl Rove, devised a push poll against John McCain. South Carolina voters were asked, would you be more likely or less likely to vote for John McCain for president? Now imagine this. I can't believe people wouldn't see through this, getting this this note or this push poll. Would you be more or less likely to vote for John McCain for president if you knew he'd fathered an illegitimate black child? They had no interest in the actual percentages in the poll. The goal was to suggest that McCain had fathered a black child. And this whole thing was particularly vicious since McCain was campaigning with his adopted Bangladeshi daughter. And then Karl Rove again. Not that Republicans would bring up anything sexual whatsoever. Karl Rove again was involved. Ann Richards was a socially progressive and inclusive governor of Texas. And she appointed a few gays and lesbians to state boards and commissions. And in 1994, Rove pinpointed this as an issue certain to help George W. Bush win election in a conservative state. And of course, Rove was not about to let his candidate broach the subject himself. Instead, he worked through Republican operatives in East Texas, and rumors soon began to circulate through coffee shops and agricultural co-ops that implied Governor Richards, an unmarried woman, might be a lesbian. Without identifying the topic, she acknowledged she was being hurt. She said, you know what it's about, she told reporters dismissively after being asked about the rumors, and I'm not talking about it. Woman had too much class. And how about this from the Rolling Stone? When it comes to the politics of distraction, Bush's decision to stoke fears among religious conservatives about gay sex is part of a historical pattern among Republicans. In fact, the last time the party fought a battle over traditional marriage, attempting to hold state bans on interracial marriages during the 1960s, the political landscape was eerily similar. The turning point of race baiting to gay baiting came in 1984 when our beloved Jesse Helms framed his Senate campaign, then the most expensive in history, as a struggle between the patriotic and the homosexuals. At the time, emotion against integration and busing were on the decline in the South, and Republicans needed a new scare issue with which to frighten voters. So one of Helms' political architects said that this wasn't about values, it was about provoking a visceral, gut-level response. Said Bob Hall, who studied the campaign for the Institute for Southern Studies in Durham, North Carolina. He said, it's not rational, it's snakes on a plane. Helms, he added, proved the value of gay baiting in a campaign, even against a moderate opponent. He helped embed it into the culture of the right-wing political operatives. Jesse Helms. Gay bashing has been a part of the GOP's political bread and butter ever since. And oh, how they've used it over and over and over again. These are people whose ancestors wore white sheets. Many of them. It sickens me. I can't possibly express my contempt for these hypocrites. I really can't. They beat on Bill and Hillary and even their daughter Chelsea almost constantly through the Clinton White House years, and it never stopped. And I don't know how many of you remember or not, but Bob Barr, you remember Bob Barr? Bob Barr announced even before Clinton took the oath of office that they were going to impeach him. They used every dirty tactic in the book. You remember Ken Starr's statement to Paul Begala at an airport when Starr was first chosen as an unbiased special prosecutor? He told Begala before he'd even started, "Your boy is going down." I will never stand for any Republican lecturing me on morality in private life or public life. I'd sooner take directions from Satan on morality than anyone who backs this administration and Karl Rove and their kind. I really would. So I don't want to hear the outrage coming from them right now. It's phony. It's absolutely phony, and I'm tired of it already. I'm tired of this election already, to tell you the truth. I wish it could be over very quickly. I would love to see it just be over with. We've got, what, 3 weeks from yesterday? I think that's what it is. 3 weeks from yesterday. So, yeah, I'd like to have it over with. I'm tired of the political, all the ads on TV. I'm really sick of that. We'll see. Hey, we'll be back in just a moment.
Feel, knowing the trouble you've caused. Surely you must lie awake every night, dreaming of paradise lost. Why can't you admit that you could be wrong? Sometimes I wonder if you understand what you've done. The one who started the fire that ended the world. You sold out the country to your privileged friends. You told all them queers to repent. You started a war that'll never be won, with a truth that you had to invent. Well, you've made your point. We all know you're tough. Some say you're evil, but I think you're crying for love. How does it feel to know you're the one who started the fire? The world. Well, I'd like to believe that we'll find a way to survive, even you. Maybe forgive yourself. Hurricanes rage, the fat lady waits in the wings. You could have saved us so many times, but you don't believe she can sing. You must be so ashamed. You wasted the gift. Now the universe laughs as we waddle over the cliff.
Back with you here on kind of a quiet Wednesday. Very quiet Wednesday. Everybody must be all clammed up today and don't have a lot to say, evidently. About 4 minutes away from news at the top of the hour. Yesterday we went to the news and they weren't there, so maybe we'll have a little better luck today. Always glad to have you along with us here, coming to you from the beautiful Southwest Florida area. And good to hear from you folks everywhere. My goodness, isn't it a great age we live in where we can converse back and forth with people in Europe and Asia and Australia, which we regularly do. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm very pleased that we have listeners from all over the world. I really am. It's really interesting to talk to those folks. It really is, and people in the other countries. Well, it may be interesting to talk to them, but it doesn't do your heart much good right now, because I'll tell you, so many people I talk to, when I ask them, what are they thinking about America right now? You know, they're not too anxious to tell you, but when you push them, they'll tell you. Especially the Germans, they'll come right out with it. But it's it's disturbing to hear what other countries think about us right now. Very, very disturbing. And I don't know about you, but I do know about you, my listeners. You care what the rest of the world thinks. You know, it just gripes my rear end, as my dad used to say, when I hear one of the right wingers say, Who cares what the rest of the world thinks? We're America, by God. We're in charge. We got the biggest military in the world, and got that old chewing tobacco over there in the corner of the mouth. And yeah, we don't care what the rest of the world, especially them damn Germans and them Limeys and them Frenchies, and we don't care. Why should we care what the world thinks about us? We're America, by God. That's the attitude some of them got, and I've heard it way many more times than I'd like to. And it's not a pleasant thing to hear that from people from other countries. People you used to meet at the beach here all the time or other places say, oh, yes, we love America. We love America. We love the American people. We just love the American lifestyle. We love America. They're starting to feel a little differently about the people. Because after all, the people were stupid enough to put these people, well, let me say this, give them enough votes that they were close enough that they could swing the election themselves, and once through the Supreme Court and the other time through the goddamn voting machines. But there were enough of them that voted, enough stupid ones that they got in there somehow in the last two elections. And it's disturbing to people in other countries. Very disturbing. And I don't blame them. They fear us. And I don't think the rest of the world, especially, you know, all the good people in the rest of the world, they should not be fearing us at all. And I feel bad about that. I really do. I see they're talking on the chat room about how much gas is where you live. I think currently here right now it's about 237, 236, 237 in my neck of the woods. What is it where you're at? Let us know. Hey, we're going to be back right after the news at the top of the hour. Don't go away. Look forward to talking to you after the top of the hour, and hope you'll get your phones out and give us a call at 866-546-5254. We'll be here right after the news.
Quality News Network. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is in Japan today, South Korea tomorrow. She's attempting to calm regional fears raised by North Korea's nuclear weapons test. The U.S. is trying to prevent a nuclear arms race in Asia. The Dow Jones Industrials hit the milestone 12,000 this morning, shortly after the markets opened. In the past 2 weeks, the Dow has broken closing records 7 times. In Iraq, it's been an increasingly bloody month. 10 U.S. troops have been killed in the last 24 hours. That brings the number of American combat fatalities this month to at least 67. It's been a deadly month for Iraqis as well. More than 700 have lost their lives. In southern Afghanistan, at least 22 Afghan civilians have been killed in the past 24 hours. NATO airstrikes killed 13, including women and children. The top NATO commander in Afghanistan says the West has made deadly mistakes there in the past 5 years and has only a 6-month window of opportunity to turn the situation around. The former top NATO commander in Afghanistan says coalition forces should be prepared to fight in that region for the next 20 years. In Washington, the former chief of the FDA has pleaded guilty in federal court for lying about instances of financial conflict of interest. Lester Crawford owns stock in several companies he was charged with regulating. Crawford resigned from the Bush administration last year. The spouse of former Congressman Gary Studs, who died this week, has been denied death benefits routinely paid to surviving congressional spouses. Studs, the first openly gay member of Congress, was legally married to another man at the time of his death, but the federal government fails to recognize any but heterosexual marriages. In Michigan, authorities have released an 81-year-old former Nazi concentration camp guard awaiting deportation because they can't find a country to take him. Citizenship status of the retired auto worker was revoked when he was exposed as an SS guard. He's in the custody of family members. The government says it will continue to look for a country that will accept him. In New York, 3,000 emergency workers who became ill after cleaning up 9/11 Ground Zero have been given the judicial go-ahead to sue. The workers claim local and state governments failed to provide them proper safety equipment. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and Business News is next. It's 2.5 minutes past the hour.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
More than 700,000 Americans are sickened each year by improper use of their prescription drugs. That's according to a recently released government report. Researchers say many of the problems were caused by accidental overdoses and allergic reactions. Blue Cross of California has agreed to settle more than 70 lawsuits from customers whose coverage was canceled after they got sick. The amount of money involved is not being disclosed. Blue Cross is California's largest health insurance carrier. The Social Security Administration today announced the 2007 cost of living adjustment for the program's 49 million recipients. Average January checks will go up about $33. It was a $139 million stumble. Casino entrepreneur Steve Wynn was showing his friends the Picasso he had just sold when he accidentally poked his elbow through the masterpiece. Wynn says he'll repair the canvas. The sale is off. Universal Music, the world's largest record company, has filed lawsuits against two video swapping websites. Universal says Grouper and Bolt violated copyright laws by offering material from the labels music and videos on the web. Light sweet crude is $58.35 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is up 13 points, the Nasdaq is down 12. The S&P 500 is down 2. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation
life.
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
Your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, gang, how you doing this afternoon? Ah, yes. That was a wild newscast. I heard something on there about made me fall off my chair, and it's about somebody I kind of know a little bit. In fact, I got a good friend that is very close with Steve Wynn, that, you know, the big entrepreneur in Las Vegas that built his own new big casino and all that, built half of Las Vegas. Anyway, $139 million for Picasso, and he tripped and fell. Jeez, he says he's gonna repair it. Now, does this call for duct tape? I wonder, has anybody ever bought a Picasso with duct tape across the back? I don't know. Then you, what, get out some watercolors and touch it up a little bit? I kind of wonder. I'm not a big Picasso fan, but I don't know. $139 million. Whew. Man, that seems a little extreme. Just a little extreme. Hey, let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, this is William from Hollywood.
Hi, William.
How are you doing?
Well, good.
I kind of share your sentiments. I want these elections to get over with as soon as possible.
Yeah, we got almost 3 weeks of hell coming up here.
Oh, this seems like years to me.
Yeah, it does. It does.
That article was on the Daily Kos.
Right.
About the, you know.
If that pans out, if that's proven to be true, if they come up with the. A bunch of actual evidence on that. That's going to be devastating to a certain political party, as it well should be. And I wonder if the mainstream media will pick it up and go with this. What I wonder.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. You'd probably have to have the 1.2 million letters or whatever that were sent out to all these people, you know, as proof.
Yeah.
If they haven't kept them. You know,
that's true.
Because I don't know what other proof there would be other than that.
Well, that, and then, you know, then he's going to try and disqualify his opponent. That's, you know, that's God.
Right.
I don't know how we get into these situations. I really don't. Your governor's race out there is tightened up a little bit, but it's not tight enough. I see it's up to, what, about 9 points right now separating them.
Yes. It's, you know, there's too many people supporting Schwarzenegger. With money.
Yeah.
Spielberg is supporting him, and I don't know what his game plan is exactly.
Tell me, what do you see out there? Does Hollywood support him? I'm talking about the industry
people.
To be
honest with you, I don't see anybody putting any kind of posters around anywhere or anything like that around here. I don't see anything.
Really?
That would give me an indication that there's even an election coming up, to be honest with you.
Well, I was...
There's one neighbor in the building who was supporting Kucinich when he was running for president,
Yeah.
And she actually had him in the back of our small building here.
Hmm.
with a group of people, but that's about the only one I see with anything on it, you know, any kind of poster or anything to even let you know that anything's going on. It's almost like California or the South, like Christmas time when it doesn't snow and there's no decorations, or they put the decorations up, and it just seems futile to me. You know, it doesn't seem like Christmas is coming, you know?
Well, it's still kind of like that in Florida, too. You know, I've only lived here, what, maybe 10, 11 years, but Christmas always seems a little weird in, when the palm, you know, you've got palm trees around. But
exactly. Especially, I'm from Chicago, so that, you know, you knew the seasons here.
Yeah.
There isn't much of a season change. It's like a summer and a bit of a winter, and that's it.
Yeah, you have to have somebody tell you it's fall or spring
exactly.
or something.
Exactly.
Without a calendar, you wouldn't know.
Exactly.
Around here, we would know a little bit. The weather, it tempers some a little bit. We get down into like the low and mid-80s, and the humidity goes away. So we can tell when it's fall here, I must say. But I made a visit to the hardware store a couple of days ago, and man, they got all the Christmas stuff out for sale. Middle of October. Gee.
I noticed that in a drugstore called Rite Aid over here, and they had the boxes stacked up with Christmas ornaments in 14 different languages, and the box stamp made in China, you know.
Well, they've still got Rite Aid drugstores. Last I heard, they were on the ropes financially a few years back. I didn't know if they were. We don't have those here, but they had them.
Yeah, they still have them here. They used to be Thrifty. And it turned into Rite Aid quite a few years ago.
Yeah, they had a big scandal. Their company did. One of the former executives kind of cleaned them out and all that kind of thing. And I never did hear what happened to them. But here it's a big CVS and Walgreens, big company.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that. I don't know if there's any Walgreens left here or not. It's different in different areas here.
Sure.
In Orange County, I'm sure it's different than it is in Hollywood.
Well, how did we get to talking about drugstores? I must have brought that up.
Yeah, it was. I don't remember. It was the Christmas ornament that
decorated.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just can't wait till these elections are over and done with, because there's just so much garbage to try to sort through.
Well, there is.
They're up and down and up and down and up and down. Each time you read something, your hopes get a little bit up. But I don't know how much faith I put in polls. You know, I mean,
not anymore.
No, I mean, I've never been polled that I, you know. Or call them a phone.
I have never been polled either. Never, not but, once.
Yeah, so you kind of wonder, where are these people and what kind of information? Are they a select group? Or are they, you know, do they take a wide area? You know, I don't even know for sure.
I don't either. I don't know how they do a poll. I've never known a pollster. Not one. So I don't know what they're doing, but I would like to know how they get the results that they get, they've been in the past on exit polls until the last couple of elections. They've been darn good on the exit polls.
Yes,
and they want us to believe that all of a sudden the election, the exit polls are no good anymore. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think they're still valid. They just want to omit them. That's all.
Yeah,
they just want to erase that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But. You know, I hate to say this, but it's starting to look like, I was listening to Hartman earlier this morning, and he was talking about that co-subject, too, you know, on the elections.
What did he have to say about it? Does he think there's anything to it?
Oh, yeah, he does. He heard someone from the inside, I guess, was talking, you know, from the GOP was talking to other
right.
people, and that's where they got the information. And they know Ohio's one state, but they don't know what the other three states, they know there's four states doing it from that. And he says it seems pretty legitimate what they're talking about here.
Well, they wouldn't have to do it in Florida, because Florida, it's already been done.
Right.
We've had our voter rolls purged here, and they've never put them back on yet. They say they're going to.
I don't know if it has anything to do with there was that photo op with Bush in the office. I don't know if you saw it with the right-wing talk show hosts. And they mentioned two other states other than Ohio in there, and I wonder if those two other states was Tennessee, I believe, was one, and I think Missouri was the other.
Yeah, there you go, Tennessee and Missouri.
And I wonder if that has anything to do at all with the other two of the other three states that we don't know about. I'm not sure. It just hit me when I saw those two states with Ohio listed there.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it would make sense that Tennessee and Missouri might be two of them that they'd go after, because you know, the Florida election right now is you know, it's within the margin of error, and so is the talent in McCaskey. We have somebody in the chat room saying they're even worried about Montana, although last time I heard, we were up, 7 or 8 points there. But, hey, they could steal 7 or 8 points.
Wouldn't they go after states that have a larger population?
Well, you're right about that. Montana, I'm thinking Montana, the entire population of Montana is only about 650,000 or so.
Right.
And we've got that many living here in this county.
Right. So that's, I'm wondering about that. I don't know about, I know Tennessee's pretty well populated.
Yeah, Tennessee, it makes sense that Tennessee would be one of them with this hard-fought senatorial race right there with Ford. That's got to be one. I don't know. I would say it'd have to be.
I would think. I think there's some tie between that photo and that. They just didn't mention the third state, and God only knows what one that might be.
You know, that just disgusted me when I saw that. Let's see, I'm trying to think. It was Gallagher, Bortz, Laura Ingraham.
Right.
And naturally, his the biggest suck-up of all, Hannity.
Hannity.
And who was the other one? Medved, Michael Medved.
Right, right. I'm surprised...
Limbaugh
wasn't in Limbaugh.
No, he's too big. He's too big for those other people. He would not. You'll never catch Limbaugh appearing with the rest of those people.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, he's way too good. Way too good for that. He'll see. You know, that's what he thinks. I heard him make a statement today as something or other about the political landscape for the Republicans. I can't think how it went. Anyway, he said. Something about bailing off the Republican ship, and he says, "Hell, I am the Republican ship." I'm not sure that's the exact analogy, but he was saying, you know, he's the one that calls the shots, and I think he's right. I think he does.
He very well could, yes.
And
it's sickening to think that,
yeah,
if possible, you know, that someone like him could have the kind of control and power that he might, you know, he seems to have.
Oh, he does. There isn't any question he does. And, you know, I have nothing but contempt for his listeners. If you're that stupid, why, go ahead, you know. And there's no use talking to him. Do you know any people that listen to him on a regular basis?
Not anymore, but...
Not anymore.
That's right.
Not anymore.
I've made a strict cutoff of anybody that starts, you know, and with a big thing with a ditto head. You know, and I worked at a Ford dealership here in Hollywood and or Glendale, and there were a lot of people in the parts department, especially that listened to Limbaugh and ditto head. And I didn't know. I didn't listen to the radio. I didn't know anything about him. And I says, "You mean you listen to a guy on talk radio, and you call yourself a ditto head, and you don't think that's a little bit of a slight to your character?"
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A ditto head. I wouldn't want someone to call me a ditto head. I'd shut that radio off right
Hell
now.
Hell no. Hell no! I tell you what, I've got a cousin that has a sales route, and he's a successful salesman, and he'll go into a place, and you know, some of these places he goes into, they'll have the radio on, they'll be listening to Limbaugh. He'll tell them, man. Oh, he'll stand right there and tell them, "You people are freaking idiots."
Oh, yeah,
he doesn't make any bones about it. He'll tell them.
I think that was I felt very alone at the place I worked, because the people there, for some reason, I don't know what it is about the auto industry out here, dealerships, but there's a very biased attitude and very prejudiced attitude. You know, whether it's no matter what race you are that would walk in, I would hear all kinds of slights, you know. And there's a lot of different types of people, nationalities in California.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And they have a real biased attitude. Most dealerships I worked at, outside of maybe one person in the entire place, out of, I don't know, there were maybe 45 technicians, and add another 35 people to that in the service department.
Mm.
And most of them were very biased. And the young people didn't know a thing about what was going on in Iraq. They didn't know a thing about the elections. The only thing they were interested in is what product can they buy, what video a DVD they can get and what kind of stereo system can they get for their home theater system.
Sure.
And they were maxed. Their credit cards were maxed to the end, you know, for this type of stuff. But well, the rest of the people, if they saw the jets flying overhead, they'd rush outside, and they were promoting that war in Afghanistan. They promoted the war in Iraq, and they were all for it.
Yeah.
And I saw all the cars with the flags, the little Chinese flags with the stick. You know,
oh, yeah.
Hooked on the car.
Yeah, man.
And then you'd see them all over the road, and they talk about burning the flag. What about driving over the flag?
Yeah, you that's know? Right. That's right. You're exactly right.
And I thought, this is so hypocritical.
Oh, I
so hypocritical.
Well,
but I think that was the demise of my 11 years at that job because of my political position, because they fired me on an at-will thing with no reason whatsoever, October 20th, right just before the elections.
Well, I tell you what, I join you in that. I wouldn't last 10 minutes. I wouldn't. If someone starts in on me, you know, I was home for a funeral back home in Ohio for a funeral about a month ago or so, and this cousin I was telling you about, that's a salesman that'll tell him why he and I were talking, and some guy started talking to us about politics, and he stopped him. He says, hey, you stop right there. He said, my cousin here and I, we're Democrats. We don't put up with any crap from anybody. He said, we won't listen to this coming from you. And I said, amen, brother. That's how it is.
It gets to the point where that's almost what you have to do. In
yeah. Yeah. I just stop them in their tracks. Hey, don't, if somebody goes by my office and makes a comment or something, I tell them, yeah, I don't care what they think. I'm not going to play nice anymore. I will not do it. I'm me, and I'm going to be me, and I won't go out and start something with somebody. But if they come up and make a disparaging remark or something, they're going to hear about it. Hey, thanks so much for your call.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Bye now. I won't take it anymore. Do any of you? I'd like to hear your comments about that. Do you take it from friends? Do you take it from family? Do you take it from strangers if they come up and say anything, or do you just walk away and be nice? I mean, that's probably the right thing to do, but I don't always do the right thing. But if anybody says anything to me, I don't care if it's out in public. I don't care if it's a friend, family. I don't care. I don't care anymore. I am not going to take it anymore, and I don't. It's probably caused me some problems, but I don't care. I'm not gonna kowtow to any. I've had enough of it. And I think that meeting at the White House last week was just plain disgraceful. That a president of the United States would have to sink to that level to invite a guy like, oh God, has any of you ever listened to Mike Gallagher? You know who I'm talking about, Mike Gallagher? Anybody in the chat room, you know anything about Mike Gallagher? Oh, my God. And Bortz. Oh, jeez. Bortz. You know, here's a guy, Bortz, that swears that he's independent. Swears that he's not libertarian. Libertarian. Swears he's libertarian. And he isn't this little soiree in the White House. And then you've got your Laura Ingraham, who she's cut Bush down a few times. Called him, got called to that little meeting. And Hannity, well, Hannity, if Hannity isn't the biggest ass kisser in the world of George Bush, I don't know who would be. Do you? Could there be any bigger apologist for George Bush? At least Limbaugh once in a while will say something that he doesn't go along with. Hannity, he's right there. He's got the old knee pads out. Hannity is, boy, oh boy. And Michael Medved, I don't get a chance to hear him very much, not very much at all, but my God, what a group. And I thought, there you go. You talk about being desperate. What was that but utter desperation by the White House and Karl Rove calling those people in and having a little conversation, get their marching orders for the next 3 weeks? What else was that? Hey, I need you. We need you. We need you to get a Republican Congress in here. Keep a Republican Congress. Yeah, it was utter desperation. That's all it was. I don't know. And someone called and said they wanted to hear this again yesterday. We were talking about the lowest of the low. And I think this was the lowest of the low. So I will hit this again. Just got an email. Somebody said they heard about this and wanted to know if I had it. Here you go.
Surely, Neil, there are other reasons than Mark Foley to decide what party you're going to vote for this November.
Yeah, but you reap what you sow. I mean, after spending 2 years of attacking Bill Clinton for his sexual escapades, now the Republicans are in high dudgeon because, you know, the media wants to deal with another sexual situation.
Well,
this time
resigned.
I'm a Republican.
He did resign. But look, here's the untold story that the media haven't covered. The pages have been painted as some kind of virginal, hermetically sealed young people. If you talk to the Capitol Police, as I do, there are a lot of these kids, including female pages, who undress in front of windows with the shades up and who cavort in the pool.
Is this known as topless and naked?
No.
To blame the victim?
No.
That's what we're getting here?
I'm just saying that the way the media have portrayed the pages is that they're all little virginal, innocent people. That's not necessarily the case.
Oh, poor Foley. He got entrapped into it. No, I'm not saying that.
But it also has nothing to do with...
Desperation. Desperation. That's Cal Thomas. If you talk to the Capitol Police like I do... Yeah, Cal Thomas is over talking to the Capitol Police every day, I'm sure. He's nothing but a liar. And that was the lowest thing that I've ever heard anybody come up with, or one of the lowest anyway. And, of course, if you're going to set the bar low, you always have to listen to this fellow as well.
My fear is that if the Democrats win, and I'm afraid that they might, you're going to see America melt down faster than you could ever imagine. It'll happen overnight. And it could lead to the breakup of the United States of America the way the Soviet Union broke up. Because I want to remind you that if I had asked anyone listening to this show whether in 1980 they could have ever believed the ex-Soviet Union could have broken up into parts, you would have said, impossible, too powerful, too centrally controlled, it'll never happen. This country could wind up breaking up if the Democrats take over this country and start hammering the American middle class.
That's right, this is one of my favorite songs from back home, Home on the Range. Oh, give me a home where no liberals roam, and the folks all think the same way. Where each house has a gun, a big caliber one, and strangers are told, make my day. Home, home on the range, where the beer and the cantaloupe lay, where seldom is heard a three-syllable word, or so that it's one I can say. All right. Got Condi on piano back there. Had to be careful with her, though. She's used to playing that Mozart Beethoven crap. They let me play and make Congress go away. The agenda that I would put through, each grade through the eighth would be taught based on faith, where the children all praying on cue. Oh, home, home on the range, that's Texas, where the beer and the cantaloupe lay, where seldom is heard a three-syllable word, or so that it's one I can say. All right. Well, yeah, we're going to have Rush Limbaugh sing on this, but can't do it because of his cochlear implant. Sorry, Rush. Oh, the budget's a mess. Oh, that much, I'll confess. But I've got Saddam's gun on my wall, and I'll let the Psalms guide my nuclear bombs, them terrorists gone once and for all. That's right. Home, home on the range, bring it on, where the beer and the cantaloupe lay, where seldom is heard a three-syllable word, or if so, then it's one I can say. That's right, bring it home. Here we go. Thank you, Bill O'Reilly on guitar. They can chain you on back up. Tom DeLay on the high tenor. That's right.
Oh, Tom DeLay might be singing high tenor. Oh, no, never mind. I'm not going to go there. I don't want to get back into the turkey testicles. And no, not like yesterday. I got to stay away from that today. Oh, yeah. Who was it that called yesterday and started the show off that way? Ron from Columbus, Ohio. Yes. Oh, my. Yesterday was quite a day for those of you that that weren't around. I'm still having a little chuckle over it. I really am. You can give us a call, 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We've been talking a lot about hypocrisy lately. And one of the most hypocritical things that I think the Republicans have done, and this group that's in power right now have set an all-time record for being hypocritical. First of all, they've claimed that they're good Christians and all that, and it's an absolute joke. I resent it when people start, the people on the right, the Christian right especially, start touting that. Well, he's a good Christian man, George Bush. You may not agree with everything he said, but he's a good Christian man, and he'll always do what he thinks is right. Bullshit. Are you familiar with the biblical passage, Mark? And I looked this up, Mark 10, verses 13 and 14. It says, "And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." And also Matthew 18:10. "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." And why do I bring that up? I didn't bring it up to preach to you this afternoon, because I'm the last person that would do that. I brought that up because of the stunning hypocrisy by the Christian right. All that's come to pass in the past few weeks, all the filth and corruption and the stabbing them in the back by the White House, all that's come to pass, and still you see interviews with these people saying, well, that's just an isolated incident, and this Republican Party that's in office, they still stand for the family values that I stand for. Let me ask everybody, what has this administration done for the children of this country? Hasn't George Bush said that he's a born-again Christian and he prays each day and he believes that his presidency is a divine mission from God? And isn't Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist allied with the conservative Christian group Focus of the Family and its Family Research Council? Tell me if I'm wrong. And isn't House Speaker Dennis Hastert a favorite of the conservative Christians? Then why in the world do they not seem familiar with the teachings and the admonitions of Jesus that I just read regarding children and their value in the kingdom of God, as it was outlined in the scriptural basis of the religion, and they claim to embrace it and practice it? Here's a few examples of the hypocrisy generally practiced by the Republicans in Washington, and that hypocrisy's effects upon millions of American children, kids, little guys and gals, little babies and toddlers, little citizens, who depend upon the goodness and the morality of adults to be safe and well. And I can't begin to fully reveal and to remind everybody of how damn hypocritical the last near 6 years of this presidency and the last 12 years of this Republican Congress have been. They ought to be ashamed. And the American public who have done so ought to be ashamed for having kept them in office. and particularly the public that claims to embrace Christian values. It's absurd. Since reaching a historic low in 2000, over the last 7 years, the number of children living in poverty in the United States, poverty I'm talking, has grown by 11.3% to approach 13 million. 13 million children in this country living in poverty. Children in poverty were more likely to be uninsured than other children. And, you know, they come up, the Republicans did over this trickle down. Poor families and children are being left behind as the benefits of this growing economy never trickle down. Never. And I found some statistics of some of the things that they just have forsaken the children in this country. The number of non-Latino white children living in poverty has increased by more than 230,000 to reach 4.3 million just since the census in 2000. More than 600,000 Latino children have fallen into poverty. The number of black children living in poverty has increased by 260,000. So that in 2005, one in every three black children living in America is poor. And more than a million children have fallen into extreme poverty. And you say, well, so what, on the right? Pull yourself up by your bootstraps like I did. And yeah, that's BS. Tell it to somebody else. Extreme poverty means living with an annual income below $7,870 for a family of three. You know, here we have the United States. And this is the point of what I'm getting at here. The United States, among industrialized country, the United States ranks number one in military technology. They rank number one in military exports, which I think is obscene. They're number one in gross domestic product. They're number one in the number of millionaires and billionaires. They're first in the health technology, first in defense expenditures, first in the number of persons in prison or jail, 12th in living standards amongst our poorest one-fifth of children, 13th in the gap between rich and poor children. They're 14th in efforts to lift children out of poverty, 18th in the percent of children in poverty, 22nd in low birth weight rates, and 25th amongst industrialized nations in infant mortality. 25th. Next to last among donor nations in the proportion of GDP devoted to international aid to impoverished people. You always hear our governments and the right wingers say, oh, hell, we give this money away to these people, to hell with the foreign aid and to hell with helping people. Let them help themselves. They never help us. Next to last among donor nations in the proportion of GDP devoted to international aid to impoverished people. Does that sound like this government is doing anything to help impoverished people around in the world? Next to last among the industrialized countries? You know, there's a figure right there that if you went over and told your Republican friend next door that, they would not believe you, but it is the truth. They think we're number one. They think we're this great and benevolent nation that's just shoveling money to the poor countries around the world. Why? We're the only ones that's doing it. We're helping them African kids. We're giving them shots and stuff. Yeah. Next to last. And who do you think has got it that way? We're last. Last among 16 industrialized countries in a proportion of children living in poverty after all income supports are counted. We're last in protecting our children against gun violence. U.S. children under the age of 15, as opposed to these other industrialized countries in the United States, U.S. children under the age of 15 are 9 times as likely to die in a firearm accident, 11 times as likely to commit suicide with a gun, 12 times as likely to die from gunfire, and 16 times as likely to be murdered with a gun as the children in 25 other industrialized countries combined. Of the 191 members of the United Nations, the United States of America and Somalia, take note of that. Of the 191 members of the United Nations, the United States of America and Somalia, for God's sake, are the only 2 nations that have failed to ratify the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. Black infant mortality rates in our nation's capital exceed those of 55 different nations. Twenty-6 major industrialized countries provide paid parental leave. The United States is not one of them. The United States is the only industrialized nation that does not provide guaranteed prenatal care for every pregnant woman. What, are they going to tell us we can't afford this? How much could we have done with that $340 billion now we've spent on Bush's folly in Iraq, the Bush War? Think of the good they could have done with that money, here and abroad. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
First of all, I would like to say that I have been polled in the past, maybe 4 or 5 times in the past. I don't think I have lately, but, you know, some of the phone calls you get, you don't know what you're getting. So.
Right.
But anyway, some of them were national and some of them were local. But I wanted to call about the torture bill, and I think that's what we should call it.
Absolutely. It's what it is.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, they say, well, this won't happen and that won't happen, you know. But it's like when you're working, you get these memos, and everybody misunderstands it. It's, you know, nobody gets it right. It's going to be misinterpreted. People are going to think they're going to be able to do more than they are supposed to be allowed to.
Well, I'll tell you something. They're not going to have to misinterpret it. Really. In order to carry out some awful things, they're not going to have to misinterpret it. Did you know that it's okay to waterboard people, and that we actually prosecuted people after the Second World War for doing that?
Right. So what difference are we? We're not different.
Not a bit.
We're not any different. And it just really breaks my heart. But it's going to be a whole lot of repercussions, because look at all the things that people are talking about, children this, children that, you know. What's the matter with children? Well, what's the matter with children is the grown people, and making all these laws, they're going to start doing that. You know, they're going to say, oh, well, it's all right, I can waterboard and all that. And you know what I'm saying.
Exactly. Now, they'll take it and run with it. You know, there's enough crazy people, and they'll take that and take it as a license to do anything they want.
It's going to make our whole country a bunch of have a lot of bestiality and all that kind of thing. You know, why should we be kind to animals?
Yeah.
Why not torture animals? What's wrong with that? You know, they'll do away with that.
Yeah, they're gonna drag us down. They have.
You can do anything with children. I mean, I heard somebody, you know, they were talking about it was all right to torture children. You know, so anyway, that's the way it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
But I still believe that I heard that guy on 60 Minutes about the one that was in the faith.
Oh yeah, David Kuo.
Yeah, and one thing he said that I've been saying is that it hurts him that God is lied about so much, or something like that. You know, that's not the way God is. What you read a while ago, that's the way God is.
Well, this White House has taken liberties with religion. They've taken, they've used and abused the Christian right, and I hope I hope that the Christian right, the evangelical people, understand what's been happening to them.
I just don't see it. It's just like all these churches that they've taught that he's such a he's so holy, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what can you say?
Yeah, I've got a relative that there's no talking to him. I mean, there's no talking to him at all.
Right. And I mean, there may be a few, but honestly, unless they have a real revelation or something, I just don't think many of them will change. Unless, I don't know. You just have to do what you got to do, you know.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I know. I don't know where we go from here. I really don't. Going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute.
On two sides, and the Bama crimson tide in the south, tilted slightly toward the north. The immigrants pour forth, seeking Phoenix and life hand to mouth. My strange nation tilts sharply to the right, with our leaders straight and white as our teeth. Our population's mixed, but our election's fixed in my strange nation, America. My strange nation, built on the backs of slaves who were sailed here across the waves from far away. This cruel experiment was ended by a president who was both a Republican and gay. My strange nation gave the Indians our germs. They surrendered on our terms, as in died. Their survivors filed appeals, so we gave them roulette wheels in my strange nation, America. But my strange nation has lost its mind again, sending young women and men off to war for reasons that aren't clear, unless you're standing near to the rich and the righteous and the bored. And my strange nation, enamored of the coin, the circus and the bread distract us from the dead in my strange nation, America. But my strange nation will surely come around, for you cannot hold us down for long. We'll sputter, throw the despots off and recover the soul that makes us strong. And my frustration is just a product of my strange but loyal love for this land, for its mountains and its lakes, tornadoes and earthquakes, for its poets and pioneers, for its fetishes and fears, for its freedom of dissent, for its greasy government. And I will not change the stance, I will not move to France. I will always hold nation, America.
Secondly, there are such things as roving wiretaps. Now, by the way, anytime you hear the United States government talking about wiretap, it requires a wiretap requires a court order. Nothing has changed, by the way. When we're talking about chasing down terrorists, we're talking about getting a court order before we do so. It's important for our fellow citizens to understand, when you think Patriot Act, constitutional guarantees are in place when it comes to doing what is necessary to protect our homeland because we value the Constitution. But a roving...
Oh, yeah. There isn't anybody that values the Constitution more than Junior Bush. Nobody. Nobody values it more than he does. That's for sure. My God. The lies roll off of his lips so easily. Just so easily, this guy that everybody said they'd like to have a beer with back before they elected him. Such a nice guy. And he's, I don't know whether he's a compulsive liar. Does he believe what he's saying? Is he a pathological liar? What kind of a liar is he, do you suppose? At first, I thought maybe he was some sort of a cunning, slickster. But he really isn't, I don't think. I don't think he has brains enough to do that. I really don't. My word. I don't know. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I had a note here somewhere about Dick Cheney. Oh, yeah, Dick Cheney. He said it again the other day, back on May 31st, 2005. He said, I think we may well have some kind of pressure presence over there for a period of time. The level of activity that we see today from a military standpoint, I think, will clearly decline. I think they're in their last throes, if you will, of the insurgency. Since Mr. Cheney said that, made that statement, there have been 1,106 soldiers killed. And Marines. And yesterday, Mr. Cheney said, if you look at the general overall situation, they're doing remarkably well. And then today we hear that the U.S. military report that 9 American troops have been killed in bombing. And, of course, this doesn't include the exponentially exploding number of Iraqi deaths. And he went on to say, it is difficult, no question about it, but we now got over 300,000 Iraqis trained and equipped as part of their security forces. They've had 3 national elections with higher turnout than we've had here in the United States. And if you look at the general overall situation, they're doing remarkably well. Does anyone? No, don't ask the question, guy. I was going to say, does anyone believe this man? People do. I guess that's the answer to my own, question. Yes, there are people who believe what he has to say. Hard to believe that somebody does, but there are people out there. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Phil up in Daytona Beach. How are you today?
Hi, Phil. I'm good. How's things over in the East Coast today?
Not bad, thanks. You know, I hope I'm not calling in too much. I love the show, and I love the conversation.
We're glad to have your call.
Okay. The statistics you were reading off before, is that something that those of us listening might be able to have access to? Is there those were really, there's a dose of truth that not many people have been exposed to, myself included.
That's for sure. Here we go. A lot of those are from, and you can just Google this and find them. The Children's Defense Fund,
yes,
is one group.
Okay, I thought perhaps you were reading them out of an article or something that just came out.
Yeah, the Children's Defense Fund and the other one, www.cdfactioncouncil.org.
CD Faction?
Yeah, Faction Council.
Okay.
.org.
Thank you. I was out last night, speaking of conservatives, I went out and saw a local screening of Iraq for Sale.
Ah.
They're screening all over the country, that new Bob Greenwald film.
Right.
Folks can go to iraqforsale.org, type in their zip code, and find where a free showing is in their neighborhood. And I thought about, who should be seeing this? The flag-waving conservatives, support our troops and, God bless America, and we're here for the troops. We support our troops. I'm a conservative, and they don't even know what the word means. I'd like to hand them that movie along with those statistics you just read off,
right.
that we Americans are so good, we feed the African kids, yuck, 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 but I do want to put that out there. I saw that film, and it was what I expected, because I've been listening to folks like you and reading the internet for a few years now, and it didn't come as a surprise. But
That film was shown at my club last night, and unfortunately I was not able to go.
Yeah.
And I understand they had a heck of an audience for it, so it's a rather large club, and I know they had a very large audience for it, around 400 or so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's down in Fort Myers?
Naples.
Naples.
Yeah.
Dynamite. Well, people are showing them in their churches and their community centers. And.
Well, they've got a killer club here. I want you to know. I'm awfully proud of it. And the president of the club, Gene Vaccaro, has just knocked himself out. It's amazing. I mean, we got here we are in one of the reddest counties that you could be in, and we got Howard Dean down here for our Jefferson Jackson dinner. I mean, George McGovern. I mean, we got a lot of them in here, and they're coming into this what we call the heart of darkness here. So he's our club president, Gene Vaccaro, has been just absolutely knocking himself out doing a great job.
And when you say your club, is that the DEC? Your Democrat club?
That's the Democratic club of Collier County.
Oh, that's great. I'm with the Florida chapter of Military Families Speak Out, and we have a fellow down in Naples named, I believe his name is John Riccio, and he does that memorial to the dead soldiers.
I know
in
exactly who you're talking about.
Puts up 2,500 white crosses.
I have met him.
Oh, so you're aware that they're coming out, I don't know if it's this weekend, the end of the month, they're doing a Arlington South.
Yeah.
Where they're doing a whole big event there. I don't know if it's in Naples or Miami.
Yeah, he's done it in Naples.
Great, yeah. Well, I didn't want to take up too much of your time, and I don't want to call too much, but the show's great, the topics are right, and I enjoy the callers, and those statistics. I'm going to go to the Children's Defense Fund and the CDFactionCouncil.org and try to print up some of these stats.
Yeah, you'll find them on there.
Yeah, and please, folks, type in iraqforsale.org, type in your zip code, and you'll find this screening around you, and then just tell people, hey, you know what I saw last night? And, we'll be the media. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yep, thank you.
Have a good day.
Yeah, that's quite a film from what I hear. Everybody I'm sure many of you have seen it, and I have not. I've had several opportunities to go see it, and I've for one reason or another, I've missed it, and I feel bad that I have. But that's life, I guess. But we've got news coming up here. We're going to try that again today. Yesterday at 5 o'clock, we had trouble getting our news over the wire. And so we shall try it again today and see what kind of luck we have here. I don't know. We will see. It's one of those things. It's an internet news service, and you just never know whether they're going to have cable trouble or what. But we're a few seconds off from that yet anyway. So we'll wait up on that.
You're tuned to the Quality News Network. If you are not hearing the background sound of the teletype machine,
there he is.
CNN is temporarily off the air.
He's explaining that again.
Broadcast the finest hourly newscasts in the country from 6 a.m. through 6.05 p.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday.
Well, we'll wait and see if they actually come up and do the news. They're supposed to be having it on right now, though.
On demand for an hour after the broadcast. Click latest. QNN also...
Let's see where we're at here. See, there's nothing like live radio. You guys get to be right in on it.
This is the Quality News Network. In Iraq, so far 69 U.S. soldiers have died this month, making it one of the deadliest months for U.S. troops since the war began. On Tuesday, in and around Baghdad, 9 U.S. soldiers and 1 Marine were killed by roadside bombs and enemy fire. White House spokesperson Tony Snow said despite the recent spike in deaths, President Bush would not reconsider his Iraq plans. British Prime Minister Tony Blair also defended his policy of keeping troops in Iraq. He said it would be a, quote, gross dereliction of our duty to withdraw before Iraqi troops are ready to assume responsibility. Elsewhere in Iraq, 40 people are still missing after their 13-car convoy was attacked at a checkpoint outside of Balad on Sunday. In the past 5 days, nearly 100 people have been killed there in sectarian fighting. In Baghdad today, at Saddam Hussein's genocide trial, 2 Kurdish witnesses testified of massacres they witnessed. The top NATO commander in Afghanistan says the West has made mistakes there in the past 5 years and has only a 6-month window of opportunity to turn the situation around. In Tokyo today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice made the first stop of her trip to Asia and Russia to de-escalate the crisis, which followed North Korea's test of a nuclear weapon last week. She tried to reassure the region that the United States would defend its allies. She repeated that the United States has no intention of attacking North Korea. CNN is reporting that North Korea has informed China that it may conduct as many as 3 additional nuclear tests. U.S. spy satellites have detected activity in North Korea that could be preparation for more testing. In Spain, officials have backed out of a $620 million contract to provide Venezuela with military aircraft. It was Spain's largest ever defense deal. The country's foreign minister said it had to be suspended because of U.S. opposition. In Washington, the House Ethics Panel continues to hear testimony from those involved in the Page scandal. Louisiana Representative Rodney Alexander said he and his staff contacted the House Speaker's office after learning of questionable emails sent to a former Page from then-Representative Mark Foley. In West Palm Beach, Florida, an attorney for Foley said that the former congressman will reveal the name of the Catholic clergyman who allegedly abused him while he was a teenager. And the spouse of former Massachusetts Congressman Gary Studs, the first openly gay member of Congress who died this week, has been denied death benefits routinely paid to surviving congressional spouses because the federal government only recognizes heterosexual marriages.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
In Hawaii, authorities have put a preliminary price tag of $46 million on damages from Sunday's 6.7 earthquake. President Bush signed a new national space policy, the first full revision in 10 years. It is centered on security issues, and it encourages private enterprise in space. Blue Cross of California will settle more than 70 lawsuits and claims filed by patients who accuse the health insurer of illegally canceling their policies after they became ill. Worldwide, the music industry has launched 8,000 lawsuits to stop illegal file sharing. Universal Music is suing 2 websites, Grouper.com and Bolt.com, for encouraging users to share videos without the company's permission. Some of Apple's video iPods shipped over the past month carry a computer virus that could affect computers running Microsoft Windows. Radio Shack will offer consumers online classes to teach them about tech topics such as digital photography, satellite radio, and high-definition television. The federal government announced Social Security checks are going up by 3.3% next year. The cost of living adjustment equals about $33 more per month in the average check. Lightsweet crude is trading at $57.62 a barrel. And in early morning trading, the Dow went past the record 12,000 mark. The Dow is currently up 36 points at 11,986. The NASDAQ down 8. The S&P 500 is flat. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well, here we are back doing overtime again. That's right. We're filling in for Bruce Birch. Normally, Bruce would be starting right now from 5 till 7 o'clock here on the Head On Radio Network. But Bruce is taking a little hiatus, and Bob and I are splitting up the time. So Bob Kincaid will be with you at 6 o'clock, going from 6 to 10. And I'll be with you until 6 p.m. Eastern time, we're talking here. You know the whole world's on Eastern time. Well, just about, anyway. Isn't that something where we live? It's hard getting used to being on a different time time slot moving. I mean, my brother moved to Phoenix last year, and said it was difficult for a little while to get used to things starting at a certain time and so forth. But anyway, that's the way it is. We're glad to have all of you along with us here this afternoon. We've got a much more reserved program today than we had yesterday. I don't want to say yesterday's program wasn't serious, because there were some serious elements to it. But the show started right off yesterday with a caller calling from Columbus, Ohio, saying that he knew that Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and I don't know who else, he said, were all having sex with one another. and that just kind of got it going. And then somebody threw in the local Fort Myers Beach Turkey Testicle Festival. And the whole show just kind of revolved around that yesterday. I should say evolved from that. And I don't know, had a lot of laughs yesterday. Today, I guess just deadly serious today. I don't know. I don't want to be deadly serious all day today, though. And I hope you'll give us a call here on the program, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. I see they're talking at the Hit on Radio Network chat room about Mike Malloy coming back out in Phoenix on the 30th, and that's a good thing. I don't know what the time what time slot Mike's going to have yet and how that will translate if they do live stream or what. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I do know that's one of Shelley Dovney's radio stations, and I'm glad to see Shelley and God and Mike getting back together again. And that's a really good thing. So congratulations, and I hope that works out very, very, very well. Somebody mentioned my Yorkies. Got two Yorkies now. GMR 366 has tossed this guy a Yorkie, a biscuit, for being so patient. Yeah, we were talking about the Drobneys. They were the founders, the original founders of AAR, and then they kind of got out of it. And, okay, Ray Hinckley says he's going to be in his old time slot. Now, will that be, somebody tell me, is that going to be Eastern time or Pacific Coast time? Because Phoenix is on Pacific Coast time. I really don't know. So be interesting to know what time he's going to be on. Whether it's I don't know. I was looking for an answer to that, and I don't have it. And someone asked me on the chat room if I got their email. No, I didn't. And I got an interesting email. Where is this at here? Somebody sent me Rick. Rick sends me an email. Rick listens to the program every day, and he says, run, hide, or kill yourself because the terrorists are going to help George again just in time for the election. Are you ready for some dirty bomb football? Rick. Well, Rick, God, I hope not. I hope not. And I just noticed our interview didn't call today. We were going to have John Amato from Crooks and Liars. He was going to call us around 3:30, and I got to talking there, and he never did. So don't know what happened there. It's a great website, Crooks and Liars. He probably got busy. But that's a great website. I often go there to look at video and so forth. And, you know, the Internet's just getting to be so doggone good there, and that YouTube and so many interesting things. I mean, I think it's fascinating that you can watch mainstream media. I don't know if they consider cable mainstream or not. I do. They steal stuff off of YouTube and MySpace and all that all the time. So that's really something that the old blogosphere and the Internet's just getting to be, well, it's getting to be pretty mainstream itself. And isn't it something that so many people, to back up whatever political stance they have, and say, you know, they'll challenge your facts and say, oh, you read that on the Internet. You got that off the Internet, didn't you? As though everything on the Internet. Hey, listen, those of you that don't believe in the power of the Internet, there's National Enquirer type sites like Drudge and what's that Newsmax. I think Drudge and Newsmax would be considered like the National Enquirer of the Internet, and there's many others as well, and there's some on the left as well. I freely admit that, but there's some damn good sites, and there's sites that they're facts. You can take them to the bank. So many people, when you get into a political discussion with them, you know, when you hear that, why you know, they're just blowing smoke. Oh, what'd you get that off the Internet? Yeah, I did. I did it. I did get it off the Internet. I got it. Paul Krugman said it, or Noam Chomsky said it, or, you know, Glenn Greenwald. Do many of you read Glenn Greenwald? Let me close this little browser here and see where I'm at here. Glenn Greenwald has got a terrific website called Unclaimed Territory by Glenn Greenwald. And let me see if I can get up the address. Yeah, it's glenngreenwald.blogspot.com. And you talk about a great writer. We had him on when we were in Washington not too long ago. And a terrific guy and a great writer, glenngreenwald.blogspot.com. There isn't a better writer on the Internet, I guarantee you. You will love his site. You absolutely will. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm, to my Democrat friends, and you know, I don't spare the whip on the Democrats if I think things are wrong, but I'm sorry to tell you that this republic of ours is in peril. It is in peril, and America, the good, the great nation that once inspired the people of the world to demand democracy and freedom, I believe it's on its deathbed, and we've almost blown it. And in 6 short years, our once admired country has become hated by a majority of humanity. And this isn't all our fault, but you're not, you know, we're not blameless. Our record speaks for itself. We let George Bush seize power, and we let him start a needless war of aggression. And we let the U.S. Congress become his rubber stamp, and we didn't challenge his idiotic axis of evil nonsense. And that encouraged the nuclear proliferation. Now North Korea has the bomb, ostensibly as a deterrent to a U.S. invasion. Iran is doing everything it can to build one, too. You let a president become an emperor. You know, the freedom of our country has long stood for are all but gone, the habeas corpus. Actually, the most basic legal right you could have has been repealed, as have the Geneva Conventions. And little George the Emperor can now declare anyone, anywhere, an enemy combatant and have him imprisoned and tortured for an indefinite period of time. All of it without a trial. And he could even do it to you. And I'll get to the phones in just a moment. Hang on. But despite all of that, there is some good news. Country still got a chance. And perhaps this is the last chance to save our country. And we should be encouraged. A majority of Americans will stand up with us in this Democratic Party if the party will only stand up and fight. And I'm talking to the Democratic Party. Tens of millions of Americans detest the Bush administration. They're disgusted with what our country has become. And America is now looked upon as a rogue nation, ruled by some sort of a military dictator. And as a party, my Democratic Party, you've got to do something to change that. And as you know, congressional elections are going to take place in, well, a little less than 3 weeks. And our party's likely to make some gains. And there's a three-step plan to restore the honor around the world of this great country. And it's a plan that'll win back billions of people that we've lost during this terribly dark period in American history. A, let's win Congress by standing up to the Bush administration. B, and I'm deadly serious about this, start hearings to impeach George W. Bush and the rest of his neocon gang. And C, put all of them that need be on trial for crimes against humanity. They're guilty of many crimes. That's pretty simple, huh? So, you know, come on, my friends, my Democratic friends, we can do this, and we need to have courage. And if the party will actually enact this plan, it'll show the world that America holds itself accountable for all the damage that we've done. So the only way that we can win back the respect and the hearts and the minds of the people all around the world, and holding the Bush administration accountable, is the only good option that we've got. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves lamenting the loss of what was once a great and free nation. We're so close to losing all of our friends. So my Democratic Party, stand up. Stand up and be strong this time. Save our once great nation before it's too late. Somebody's got to. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, how you doing?
I'm great.
Yeah, this is Rick in Panama City.
Hi, Rick.
Yeah, I sent an email because I didn't know if you had seen the coverage that's blossoming all around about the terrorists are going to blow up the football stadiums with dirty bombs.
No. When did that happen? While we've been on the air here?
Yeah. It's cracking out all over the place. Then after they're making a big deal out of it, they turn and say, of course, there's no truth to it, and nobody's putting any credence in it, and everybody should go to the game.
Isn't that typical? Isn't that so typical?
So then they had Paul Begala on CNN with the submarine captain there, Blitzer, and with Bay Buchanan, of all people.
Oh.
And they were matched up. And Begala actually pointed right out the fact that, isn't it amazing, every time we have an election, we have a weird terrorist alert that never amounts to anything, and they always, you know, they wait for the media to make a big deal out of it, but they always have that caveat. Of course, everything we just told you is a lie.
Yeah. You know, it's like when a newspaper makes a big mistake on the front page, they always put the retraction on page 37 down at the bottom somewhere.
Right, and they were trying to get old Paul to bite. Baby Cannon was baiting him to bite on and saying, "Oh, so you're saying this is a put up job and all of that?" Because, and I was saying, "Don't do it, Paul, because if you say that, then this time they're going to blow up a bunch of people."
Well, is any certain stadium? I mean, like, is it going to be like the Big Ten or the Southeast Conference? Or
yeah, there's seven involved, and even Ohio has one. I'm not a football person, so I don't know.
Wait a minute. These terrorists better not be talking about Ohio Stadium in Columbus.
Yeah, I believe they are.
If they are, I'm headed up there. I'm gonna get a shotgun, and I'm going to stand guard.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sure most of them Buckeyes would do that.
Well,
you know, but it just...
They'd be messing around with the Buckeye Army here now. They got trouble.
I know. I've never seen anybody more enthusiastic about it.
We'll go over there and kick their ass no matter where they're at. We'll get them.
I know. My best friend is from Alabama down here, and they have this thing going between Auburn and some other place. And they just, you know, they're not enemies, but it's a ferocious brinkmanship between this Auburn. What is it?
Well, Auburn and Alabama. That's brother against brother, that deal is.
Yeah. They're just killer about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, our little thing that we have with the state of meat chicken up there, you know, we have, I think it's the greatest rivalry in football. And, you know, I tell you, you'd be messing with the Buckeye Stadium. I don't care who it is. If it's Bin Laden, he's screwed.
Yeah,
because we'll have his ass in no time.
Yeah. Well, hey, and maybe that's what it would take. Maybe that's just what it would take for people to rise up.
Yeah, you just let him try it.
Get their attention. Another interesting thing. Remember that Australian guy who recently got killed messing with a fish?
On a stingray, big stingray.
Yeah. And he used to say, we're stalking the deadly crocodile.
Yeah, and you do that rather well.
Well, he did. I just heard the most bizarre thing ever. They got this guy, I want to say his name is Ware. He's a reporter. He's always in Baghdad on CNN. Have you ever seen that?
Mm-hmm.
That guy? And he comes out and he talks just like that guy because he's from Australia, I guess, too. And he goes, and in the United States, war forces are stalking the deadly jihadists. And it was so surreal and weird, and I just was trying to find a way in my mind to blame Bush for that, for the crocodile guy's death. Now we have this reporter talking with the same voice about stalking the deadly jihadists, and it was just, you know, it's just like, I'm like, I guess I got to call in. I got to tell somebody this. I can't phone suicide hotline, and I certainly can't tell my therapist if I had one.
Well, let me tell you a little story, and I think true football fans will appreciate this. I was sitting in Ohio Stadium. This happened twice. I was sitting in Ohio Stadium one time. Naturally, had a full house. Actually, they've had sellouts since 1951, I believe the year it was the last time we had a ticket for sale. But I was sitting in the stadium, and they came over the PA address, and this has been quite a while ago, probably 20 years ago, and they said, "We have to inform you that we have received a threat that there's a bomb in the stadium." Well, if you feel you should leave, why then we're letting you know. And so they come back in about 5 minutes on the PA system and say, "We've received a second call that there's a bomb in the stadium," and the whole stadium just started laughing. It was funny to see 100,000 people all laughing.
I know.
If you're going to die, what better way to go than watching the Buckeyes play football?
There you go. I mean, it's just, like I said, maybe that's what it'd take. You hit them in the football, the baseball, the beer, I can't say drive-in movies anymore, but you know, in that thing that we all love, and then maybe we finally stand up, like after Pearl Harbor was hit, and say, no, we're not going to run. I mean, because for something, I wrote an article on my site that was addressing this, is we somehow have become, we've lost that, you know, home of the brave, the land of the free and home of the brave attitude. I mean, not all of us, but there just seems to be this chicken-hearted type of a new American who would want to just say, hey, do anything to protect me.
Yeah.
No, just don't let them get me. I mean, it's very strange. I was checking through history, and I can't find that attitude. Every time this nation was attacked in the past, people stood up, and they would, you know, it's like they. You ever seen that old movie, The Russians Are Coming?
Oh yeah.
And they had the citizen the groups that, although kind of nutty and loony, but they get out there and they do fire watch. And they would patrol the neighborhoods, and people would darken their windows, and they fought back. They didn't cower, and I can't. The only thing I can blame, I guess, is, you know, the Fox and Friends, all those, you know, those propagandists. But I still can't understand why people bit into it and bought it.
Well, they
did.
Different
kind of crowd. It's a different crowd in America these days. I'm 50. I know you got a few years on me, but you know,
you don't know that for a fact.
Well, I've been to your side.
damn photographer.
But you're a good-looking man.
Okay. Thank you.
But seriously, I mean, I don't know where this comes from. I've never seen anything like. I mean, all throughout history, you wouldn't touch the Constitution. I mean, of people like Lincoln made a mistake, and they, of course, did a horrible thing with the Japanese. That kind of bad stuff happened, but for the most part, the nation didn't go nuts. They stood up.
That's right.
And this time around, it's like it's weird. You know, I mean, I don't see how we're becoming a nation just like the Germans after Versailles.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to cause it to happen. There's nothing that, I mean, they were a defeated people. They were broke. They were enslaved under a huge debt, you know. But they were ready for any way out. But us, you just can't find, I can't find something that made this happen. I mean, even taking all the propaganda that's been spewed out by the president and everybody else, I can't get my head around what made the American people in mass turn around and say, "I surrender."
Yeah, well, my dad joined the Navy December the 8th, 1941. Mm-hmm. Him and his brother, the very next day after Pearl Harbor, and that's the way it was because something terrible happened and we had to do something about it. But
My old man too, Normandy.
Yeah, it's just one of those. Things have changed. I think it'd be different if there was a draft right now. I think it'd be people protesting this war. There would not be this war going on right now if there was a draft.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, and that's probably been the only safety mechanism keeping the draft away. But I don't know. It still doesn't touch that heart of the reason of what's wrong with the spirit of America.
Well, I think we've been hijacked by this administration, and I hope we can get out from under their boot. I really do. We're going to work hard on it over the next 3 weeks, that's for sure. Hey, thanks for your call.
Hey, thank you, guy. Always good to talk to you. See you later.
Yeah. And I want to tell everybody one thing. I want to put out a warning here and now to Al-Qaeda or whoever it is threatening us once again with doing harm to us in this country. And I'm deadly serious about this. You screw with Ohio Stadium, we'll have an army of 200,000-300,000 armed people after your ass the very next day. Be led by Coach Jim Tressel, no doubt. A sacred ground. You don't mess with it. Ever. Drive on down the field, men of the scarlet and gray. Yeah. I'll break out into the fight song here in a minute. Let's go back to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Kathy Bracewell calling.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, I'm the chairperson for Code Pink of Volusia Flagler Counties in Central Florida.
Ah, yes.
Yes, I just found out about the horn, actually, at our demonstration last Thursday night. We demonstrate every Thursday evening at a busy intersection in Daytona Beach against this illegal occupation of Iraq.
Ah, yes. We have a group in Naples that does every Friday, Friday night, yeah.
I wonder if I could put in a plug for our website.
Why, most certainly.
Thanks a lot. It's codepinkalert.org. That's our national website. If any of the listeners would like to go to it, they can find out more about Code Pink.
Yeah, well,
and
definitely.
Why I'm calling, Guy, is I just wanted to mention a program that's on this evening on PBS. It's Bill Moyers, and the name of the program tonight is The Net at Risk.
Oh, I didn't know that was going to be on tonight. I'm sure glad you told me.
I thought I'd alert your listeners. It's Moyers on America, and it'll be at 9 p.m. And you can also watch it on the Internet at pbs.org/Moyers.
Okay.
If you could announce this and... I wanted to announce it on your show so that the listeners could tune in.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we want them to hear, not to miss Bill Moyers' show. He's the man.
He sure is. And it'll be dealing with the threat of big business privatizing the Internet.
Right. Well, good. I'll look forward to that.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for letting us know. I appreciate that very, very much. And our listeners
do
as well. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's good to know. I didn't know that. Hey, you're welcome to give us a call. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Have you ever heard that insane, what's his name, Glenn Beck? Listen to this.
Interesting point. I said when George Bush, they say that, you know, he's a cowboy and he's got a kind of a, he's got kind of that nervous twitch to him.
That's right.
And I like our enemies thinking that guy might just push a button.
We need a little more Kim Jong-il in the White House. We really do.
We do. I don't want Kim Jong-il because I'd like somebody that we all are in on it and go, he's not nuts. But this guy really is crazy.
Wow.
In the West, the old cowboys put their trust in a creed. They had faith in the law and the worth of a deed. But above all the rest, it was truth that came first. In the sins of the cowboy, a lie was the worst. Now old Davy Crockett had a motto, it said, be sure you are right, and then go ahead. But a rich boy from Texas has forgotten his roots, and the pride of his homeland is dead. All had and no cattle, but no master plan, and the need to do battle to avenge your own man. Cisco and Pancho and Roy would be sad to see this cowboy from Texas gone bad. Yes, we knew the Lone Ranger didn't need any fame. When they wanted to thank him, they just got his name. He needed no credit or praise for his time, but he'd do the right thing just the same. All had and no cattle with no master plan, and the need to do battle to avenge your old man. Wild Bill and Wyatt and Gene would be sad to see this cowboy from Texas gone bad. Half gun will travel, that our nation believes. We need truth from a wise man who would not deceive. When Paladin reached for his Colt 45, he was certain the truth would survive. All had and no cattle with no master plan, and the need to do battle with your head in the sand. Hop along, Cassidy, sure would be sad to see this cowboy from Texas gone bad. Yes, all those old cowboys would surely be sad to see this cowboy from Texas gone bad.
Administration looked at the intelligence, and we saw a threat. Members of Congress looked at the intelligence, and they saw a threat. The United Nations Security Council looked at the intelligence, and it saw a threat.
Very funny.
Tell us what you think. Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
Oh yeah, hey, we're back. You know, I listened, I noticed in that song, and I like that. I don't know the gentleman's name that sang it, but it's at a website called Group Therapy. And oh, here they are making all these jokes on the chat room. I got to be careful what I say. Group Therapy, WVF.blogspot.com, and you can find that on there. So No, I didn't sing that in group therapy. You guys get carried away on there sometimes. I don't know why. Did you notice during that song he meant? Now we'll check some of you, see if are you a little long in the tooth like I am. You know how many teeth I got left anyway, but that's a joke. I mentioned Paladin in that. How many of you remember Paladin? Do any of you even know what Paladin is, or was, or who, or anything? Does anybody know? Paladin, Paladin, where do you roam? Yes, Paladin. As a cowboy show back in the, I don't know, 60s, early 60s maybe? Maybe even late 50s, I'm not sure. I can't think of the guy that played the part of it. I'm not good with the actors' names, not very good at all. But he was this cowboy. There you go. Ray remembers. Have gun, will travel. And I think the guy that was Paladin, I think he died. But he always had this card he'd hand it. Richard Boone, thank you. Thank you. Boy, you guys are right on the ball. He had this card he'd hand out. A business card, a cowboy. Remember in those days, it says Paladin, San Francisco. Wire Paladin, San Francisco. I don't know why I remember that, but I do. All this useless information that's in my brain. My wife often comments, you know, too bad I can't clean out that useless information, put something good in there. Hey, let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, good afternoon, Guy. Bill, I'm Golden. Going through Bowling Green right now.
Bowling Green, home of the Falcons, that were recently vanquished by my Ohio State Buckeyes, by the way.
I'll meet you down on High Street.
Oh, man, at the South Burg, yes.
Yeah, so I'm on my way. I had to call you. You touched on something today, and I just had to call you on it. You said about when these elections are over, we got to take and hold impeachment. And get this guy for the war crimes that he's... Did you watch the show on PBS last night?
With John Dean and all?
No.
Oh, no. Was, oh, on PBS. I'm sorry. I was thinking C-SPAN.
It was on the lost year in Iraq.
No, I didn't see that.
I wasn't going to watch it because that kind of stuff really upsets me. But seeing how it was new from this year, it was produced in 2006. So I said, well, I'm going to take and watch it. And you talk about what they'd say in the Army, a cluster. That is exactly what that was. And they lost it once that war was over. And they sent this guy in there. He was before Bremer took over, and then they brought Bremer in. Of course, he made three big mistakes in a row, disbanding the Iraqi police force and disbanding the army, and sent those people home with their weapons. And right after that, it didn't take, I think they said on the TV there, not a week after that, they blew up the UN, their station in Iraq in Baghdad, and then they blew up one of the embassies, and then, of course, those civilian contractors that you remember that they hung off that bridge, and it just exploded into violence after that. And they had absolutely no plans for Iraq. Once they got there, they thought they were going to take and leave in 30 days. And, hey, we took this guy down. We got him in jail. And how those people can't be held accountable for that is just beyond me. I mean, it's criminal what they did.
Oh, you know, Rumsfeld, I've got a million quotes by him, and we've all heard him. He said, the idea that it's going to be a long, long battle is belied by what happened in 1990. He said the Iraqi army knows what kind of regime Saddam Hussein is running. They know what the damage that's done to the people of Iraq. They know the truth that the United States of America doesn't covet the land of any other country. I think that there would be, in fact, there was one instance where hundreds and hundreds of Iraqi soldiers surrendered to a journalist who didn't even have a gun. So the idea that it's going to be a long, long battle of some kind, I think, is belied by what happened in 1990. What an idiot.
A guy, I never seen anything like this. I mean, it's really one of the first programs, I think, that I watched on this war. And how they bungled this up, you know, they vetted, they sent people over there on the reconstruction. And this one guy was in charge of, I forget what office it was and what they were going to do, but it was a big office. It had a big part of what to do about this reconstruction. This guy is about 60, 65 years old, that's over there in Iraq now. In comes his supervisor. He's 20 years old, right out of college. And he said, well, you know, we got a lot of stuff to take and do here, and this isn't going to be easy. And he says, well, and this kid says to him, he says, we come and we're ready to do business. He says, I've got five of my frat brothers here with me, and we're ready to get down to business.
Oh, frat brothers.
And this guy just, and what they said in the program is they, how they vetted these people to take and go over there on this Iraqi reconstruction was this office that they had here in the United States that say, they'd bring these people in and say, well, how do you feel about Roe v. Wade? Are you a Christian? Are you this? Are you a Democrat or are you a Republican? And that's how these people got these jobs. And it is criminal what was done. You know, I was going to say to you, Guy, and I didn't mention this before because I really never wanted to say it, but do you know any Iraqis personally?
Yes, I do.
Well, I know one real personal, and it's a doctor.
Well, and it so happens that the one I know is a doctor as well.
Okay, well, this doctor delivered all three of my children.
Oh.
And one of the nicest women you'd ever want to meet in your life. And they live about, her husband is a psychiatrist. They live about four or five blocks away from me. And they had a beautiful home and everything. And when I'd take and I'd drive to get to the main drag out of the subdivision I live in, I have to go by their house each way. And I really don't like to say it, but their house just went to hell. They used to, she used to plant all kinds of beautiful flowers out in front of her home and everything, just manicured everything. Lawns went to hell. Shrubberies went to hell. You never see them outside anymore.
Oh, my.
And I can just imagine her son, Kenny. I used to take him fishing with me all the time, take him out on Lake Erie, take him down to Mommy and that. And
well, are they afraid?
I don't know whether it's afraid or they just...
Because you've got an active Muslim community in the surrounding. I mean, you got one of the most beautiful mosques in the world.
Oh, you know where it is?
Oh, well, certainly. Yes.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful, but...
I bet a lot of our listeners don't know that, but one of the most beautiful mosques you will ever see is in Toledo, Ohio, on the south side.
Yeah, you see it when you're coming off of 475 there.
Yes.
And it is. It's beautiful. But I kind of think they just I hope they're not listening, but I just think they've withdrawn and
what a shame.
Just feel horrible about what has happened. And after I watched that show last night, and you said today, you said, you know, we've got to take and hold our politicians' feet to the fire. We want these people impeached. We don't want them to serve their term out. And the Rumsfeld and Bremer and Condoleezza Rice, and I can go all right down.
Yep.
these people, what they have done, the soil, our country, and what they did is absolutely criminal, and they should be impeached and tried and, send them off to The Hague or wherever you send these people to.
Well, wherever it's necessary, wherever it's obvious, they should be prosecuted. I fully agree. I absolutely agree.
I highly recommend, if it's possible, that you can either catch that on the internet. It's called the Lost Year in Iraq. Whether you can still download it off the internet, I don't know, or whether you can catch it this weekend, usually on a Sunday, or like a late Sunday night or Monday morning, they rerun those. It's well worth seeing, anybody listening, and they didn't catch it. I was waiting to see if anybody talked about it on your show today.
I'm making a note here to myself to check that out.
Yeah, the Lost Year in Iraq.
I'll find it.
Okay, listen, I'm going to let you go. Great show, and I'll meet you down there on High Street.
Thanks for calling. Have one ready in the Southburg for me.
Yes, sir.
Ah, yes. You know, you go back and you look at some of these quotes, and you think these people, here's a man, Donald Rumsfeld, that the President of the United States, God help us, expresses tremendous confidence in this man. Tremendous confidence. Wouldn't accept his resignation when it was offered. I have full confidence in Donald Rumsfeld. After, you know, you might understand it if he had said this before some of these statements. But he said, after he made these statements, Bush, Rumsfeld says Iraqis would start singing and flying kites after liberation. Think of the faces in Afghanistan when the people were liberated, when they moved out into the streets and they started singing and flying kites, and women went to school and people were able to function, and other countries were able to start interacting with them. That's what will happen in Iraq. Donald Rumsfeld in 2002, September 13, 2002. And Donald Rumsfeld doubts the war. You know, during a town hall meeting with troops, Rumsfeld said if the U.S. went to war in Iraq, although it is not knowable. Oh, I love it when he starts going, and we know what we know, we don't know what we don't know, and we do. It's not knowable if force will be used, but if it is to be used, it is not knowable, there he goes again, how long that conflict would last. It could last, 6 days, 6 weeks, I doubt 6 months. And here we've got 2,700 and some kids dead. And, you know, Rumsfeld said on the weapons of mass destruction, knowing what we know about Iraq's history, no conclusion is possible except that they have and are accelerating their WMD programs. September 17th, 2002. And then Rumsfeld again. Hell, I would hide my head in shame. I would move to another freaking country and get a facelift so nobody recognized me if I had made these idiotic statements. You know, George Stephanopoulos asked him, when asked why the military had not found Iraqi weapons of mass destruction yet, Rumsfeld said, "We know where they are. They're in an area around Tikrit and Baghdad, east, west, south, and north." March 30th, 2003. And still, George Bush says he has the utmost confidence in this man. Rumsfeld said we had enough troops. General Shinseki was told by, Wolfowitz, the fair-haired boy, that Shinseki's estimate that we needed several hundred thousand troops was wildly off the mark. Rumsfeld said the Army's estimates of troops needed for post-war Iraq were way too high. Rumsfeld claims he's always recommended the number of troops asked for by the generals. He was asked by the Senate Armed Service Committee about the level of troops in Iraq, and Rumsfeld replied, "The number we have is the number they've asked for, the generals. The number that they have is the number I've agreed with." The number they have is the number I've recommended to the president. I think we've got it about right. He said that last year, in June of last year, and still the president of the United States, God help us, has the utmost confidence in this guy. I don't understand. Who could understand? I really don't. Does anybody understand this? Okay, Bush is an idiot. Okay, we all agree on that. He's a goddamn idiot. But he's certainly not so stupid, and Karl Rove is not so stupid that he wouldn't say, hey, look, we better throw Rumsfeld overboard for all that crap he said. He looks like an idiot now. And here he is running our armed services. Let's throw his ass overboard. Oh, no. No, Bush keeps him on. He looks like a more of a jackass every single day. Rumsfeld does. And yet the president of the United States, God help us, has confidence in him. Does anybody know the reason for that? It can't be political. It can't be. When you weigh this thing out, okay, I dump him, and everybody says, well, he was wrong all along, and I shouldn't have had him in there. It makes me look bad. Or I keep him, and the war's gone completely south, completely bad. More and more people killed. How do I weigh this out? Wouldn't Bush get a little more respect from the people in this country if he came out and said, Rumsfeld, you've screwed it up. You're responsible for getting a bunch of kids killed. I listened to you, Rumsfeld, and I shouldn't have. But no. No, Bush comes out and says, I have a lot of, he's my man. He's my man. You know, you get guys like Bremer come and say, Bremer said, we never had enough troops in on the ground. Bremer said that. He was there. You know, Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz, both of them laughed at the chief of staff's troop level estimate. General Shinseki. Both of them thought he, made fun of him. I don't understand. Who could? And then, as close as, what was it, about August of this year, middle of August, Rumsfeld said, there's violence in Iraq, but there's no civil war. Said, there's no question whether there's a high level of sectarian violence, which is a shame. But the people who looked at it contend that they're not in it, and the government of Iraq says they're not in a civil war. I don't understand. He's made one idiotic, foolish statement after another, after another, after another. And he agreed with Cheney that it was in his last throes. Can anybody fathom how much better off this country would be right now if Dick Cheney, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say it anyway. Can anybody fathom how much better off this country would be right now if when the Nixon administration was over, that Rumsfeld and Cheney dropped dead right then and there? Can you put together, can you add up the damage those two assholes have done to this country? Can you? It's unimaginable. You take Cheney out of the mix, for example, picked himself as vice president. And let's face it, he's been running the show. Where would this military adventure of ours be right now if it weren't for Dick Cheney? He was responsible for picking Donald Rumsfeld. These are crazy people. Everybody in Washington knew these were crazy people. Hardliners. I don't get it. I'll never understand that. I'll never understand it. There was one warning after another from our very own military. You know, they talk about how we had bad intelligence. Okay, let's say for a moment that we all understand that we had some bad intelligence going into the war. Let's just give them that. I don't buy that sorry ass story, but let's do for a moment, okay? Like my dad always used to say, let's don't say we did, or what? Well, I got it backwards. Let's buy that for a moment. That they had bad intelligence going in. Okay? Everybody agreed they had bad intelligence going in. We'll agree with them. What about once we got there? We didn't have bad intelligence then. We had half the United States military generals, or more than half, saying, hey, no, let's not do it this way. Let's do it this way. We need more troops. We need this and that. But oh, no. We got this crazy bastard Rumsfeld in the Pentagon saying, oh, no, we're going to do it my way, boys. And if you don't like it, you can get out. Time for one last phone call. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello? Oh, let me push the button again. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy.
Hi.
This is Bob from North Dakota.
Hi, Bob. How are you? I got about 2 minutes.
Okay. I just want to say, you know, read the Pentagon Papers and realize that way back when, in Nixon's era, they were looking at 100,000 dead Americans or 150,000 dead Americans before we could win the Vietnam War, okay? We're talking about 3,000 Americans dead or close to that today.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
In this Iraq thing. So, what do we got? You know, we don't have 150,000 dead yet, but that's their goal. It'll take 150,000 or better American dead before we win this Iraq war. That's their goal. They don't care. They have no care at all, Guy. You know it. I know it. But read the Pentagon Papers back when I was doing it for the country, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the truth. Okay, well, that's all I got to say tonight.
Hey, thanks for calling. Yeah, I'm glad you called. Thank you.
Thank you, Guy. Bye-bye.
What goes on inside the walls of an office like Rumsfeld office in the Pentagon that we don't know about, that we would be aghast if we did know? We know of so many horrible, horrible mistakes and idiotic things that Rumsfeld has done in prosecuting this war. What is it we don't know? What's going on inside that office of his? The castigation of high-ranking military men who've made it their lives to plan war and prosecute a war. Not that I'm saying we should have been there in the first place, but my God, at least if we were there, they could have done it right. But instead, we get a buffoon running the Department of Defense. Or let's go back to calling it what it was. Let's go back to calling it the Department of War. Let's not call it the Department of Defense anymore. It is the Department of War. It's got nothing to do with defense. Nothing. That's what it was called, all you youngsters, by the way. It was called the Department of War for many, many years. And it sounded better to call it the Department of Defense. I don't know. I don't understand the Rumsfeld thing. I will never understand the Rumsfeld thing. I'll never understand the Dick Cheney thing. The Paul Wolfowitz, the Richard Pearl. When I tell you what, I had goosebumps. I had chills when I saw that this lineup that they were putting into office when this cabal took over. I knew we were in for trouble. I said we were in for trouble. I think we all knew we were in for trouble. This was a very dangerous group of people to get together all in one place and have the unlimited power in their hands. Even Daddy Bush saw that, Bush 41. Even he knew that. Clinton knew that. Everybody knew that this was not a group of guys. This was a group of like dangerous chemicals that should not be mixed. Rumsfeld and Cheney, Wolfowitz and Richard Pearl and that whole gang of them, dangerous people. Very, very dangerous people. And they succeeded in taking power in this country. God only knows how many lives that's cost having these people in office. And I would think that just one time that George Bush would want to be a man, step up to the plate, admit that he made a mistake with a guy like Donald Rumsfeld, maybe admit that he's in over his head, and damn it, If we would take the House and if we take the Senate, I'm going to be pretty disappointed. And I'm not a vindictive person, but I'm going to be very disappointed if the Democrats don't go after these people. I really am going to be disappointed in it if they don't. Well, it's been good to have you along with us today. Appreciate it very much here in the Head On Radio Network. Bob's going to be in coming up here in just a few seconds. Bob Kincaid. And I'll be with you again tomorrow from 3 to 6. Again, we're filling in for Bruce. Bob and I are splitting it up, so you stay tuned to the Head On Radio Network. You're in for a good program with Bob Kincaid coming up. And don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow.